recording.
The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by The Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net and click on the Fleshlight link and enter in the code name Rogan, you will get 15% off the number one sex toy for men. Steve, do you have one?
No, I don't have one.
I'm going to give you one.
Oh, my
God. Can you have one, or do you have to hide that?
No, that's perfectly... That's best case scenario.
Steve Renazzisi is in the house. Buckle up, bitches. Here we go.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, live, May 10th, Tuesday, 2011, a year and several months before the end of time, Steve Renazzisi has joined us.
Thank God I got here now.
Doesn't it feel like it, man?
I wouldn't want to be booked after the end of time.
Yeah, you don't want that, man. You seen the Mississippi shit?
It's crazy, man.
Fucking people. Mother Nature is not
dude, fucking around.
The Mississippi River is like 3 miles past where it's supposed to be. So many houses are flooded. So many people are fucked.
It's not supposed to be in the city of Mississippi. Yeah, in the fucking water.
It's in Memphis.
Rain? Did they have rain for a while? Is that what happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had rain. And, and you know, there's also, they were blowing down, the Army Corps of Engineers was blowing down levees
on purpose.
To flood farmlands weeks ago because they were worried about this happening.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fucking serious shit.
Essentially, they were
shit.
Picking and choosing which places they were like, all right, you guys will be all right. We'll help you out. We're going to blow down the levees over here so the water would rush out so it wasn't going towards heavy populated residential areas.
Wow, it's crests in Memphis now. Residents are being evacuated in the city of Memphis.
Yeah, oh my, it's in the city.
God,
that's insane. The river crested at 48 feet, falling short of its all time record, but still soaking low lying areas with enough water to require a massive cleanup. They're fucked.
Yep.
The crazy thing about something like that too is like there's nothing you can do with all that water coming in. What are you gonna do? You gonna build a new dam? And where's the water gonna go? When you dam it up, where's it gonna go? You got a lake ready? Did you build that too? You can't do shit,
no,
man.
You just have to let it dry. Hope it doesn't rain again.
Our little baby existence is so fragile, and we set up these camps next to these natural things like rivers and oceans, and we just assume that, well, it's been this way for a year, it's going to be this way next year, and it's a good spot to build a house.
I don't know. I'm not that smart. But do you think, like, when we were in the wilderness, right, and floods happened, they probably just didn't go as close next time, right? They probably were like, all right, this is where the water came last time. Let's move back a little bit.
Well, the bottom line is,
why are they building still? Yeah.
The whole idea of living in one place is only a few thousand years old. Just a few thousand years ago, we were nomadic.
Yeah.
And what we would do is move where the animals went. We'd move where the animals went, and then some asshole figured out seeds. And that's what fucked everything up.
Once they could just get food right where they wanted to be.
I say it fucked everything up, but it made everything awesome, really. Right. Who the fuck wants to follow around undulate herds of animals through the fucking savannah? You know, that would suck.
Joe, I can't do your podcast because my family's leaving after a pack of buffaloes later on.
I'm going hunting with Ricky Schroeder, and that's one of the options, to shoot a buffalo.
Really?
I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to kill a buffalo. I'm killing a boar
with what?
Sure.
A gun? Rifle? I assume?
Yeah. I eat meat, you know, and I understand if you're an animal lover, but look, it's way more cruel to see an animal go through this whole system of factory farming and getting hung by their ankles and get their neck cut and they kick and spasm. Some of the shit that you see in these videos, man, these animals have lived shit lives forever. I don't know how much of those videos is just one isolated terrible incident in one terrible place where they don't follow the rules, or if it's widespread. You know, it's real difficult because neither side wants to be totally honest about how fucked up the whole raising animals thing is, but it's bad either way. It's bad, and I'm trying to do my best to not eat anything that's I'm trying to stop eating burgers. I'm trying to stop eating anything that I think is possibly factory farmed. You can get plenty of organic meat at like Whole Foods and shit like that, you know, where you know they're grass fed and they're just wandering around, and it's a better experience for the animal. You know, I just think that the best way to do it is definitely hunting, you know, and I've never done it. So, and everybody who does it says it's this crazy fucking primal thrill.
My brother-in-law kills a deer, like, right around Christmas. He goes with his buddies every year, and then he, you know, kills it and cuts it up, and he keeps meat. It's a big meat locker, and he eats venison all winter long. He's like, every year, when the spring comes, I'm done with the deer, and I'll get one in the fall.
Yeah, if you shoot one venison, you know, one deer, rather, that venison can last you for fucking 10 months.
Pack it up, freeze it, keep it in the freezer, you're good to go.
You know how long a buffalo will last you? If I shoot this buffalo, I would have to give some of it away, because I think some of it you can't really even freeze enough. Yeah, because you can't freeze, like, meat for more than 6 months, I don't think.
No.
I think this is, right?
Well, isn't there a certain amount of time? Yeah.
There's a certain amount of time.
I don't know. I eat chicken. I'm like, how old is this? Who cares? It's frozen. It's a big piece of ice.
Those random Ralph's packages you see in the back of your freezer. You're like,
at a refrigerator or you're in your freezer?
In my freezer. In my freezer. You know, like, you know what I'm talking about. Those bags of chicken for $12.
I used to do that. I don't anymore, but I know exactly. I've done it.
Right.
Where you're like, I don't know. What the expiration date's scratched off. You're like, fuck it.
You know what's supposed to be really bad? When you freeze something and then you thaw it out and then you refreeze it.
Yeah. You can't. If you thaw it out, you got to eat it.
Why is that?
Because I think... fucking know. Someone told me that. Yes,
we should find that out.
You shouldn't give food hope.
Maybe it's like the nutrients come out once. I'm thinking halfway through that, I was like, fuck, that doesn't sound good. The nutrients can come out once.
I didn't know that.
The straight dope. Why is refreezing food bad? If you ever have a question, you can go to the goddamn internet. If it'll load up.
I didn't know certain things went bad, like Campbell's soup or
really?
Spaghetti sauce.
Don't they tell you to keep that stuff in like panic rooms, like in case.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I was looking at, I think it was soup the other day, or maybe it was pasta sauce, you know, in a glass container that's been in the cupboard. But it said, you know, there was actually an expiration date on it. I'm like, wait a second. I didn't think shit like canned Campbell's soup.
God damn it. Did I really?
Maybe for legal reasons.
Maybe for legal reasons.
They have to in case you get sick or something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be, I don't know.
Let's see who's calling.
Be great.
What does it say?
I've never shot a gun.
Never. Oh, now that I recommend. It's kind of scary.
I'm scared. Here's why I'm scared about that.
Right.
I'm scared I'm going to get addicted to it. I'm going to enjoy it a lot, and then I'm going to buy a gun.
Yeah, but why are you scared about that?
Well, I don't know. It's not me. It's that I just feel like
if you have a gun in your house, something will happen.
I don't have a gun in my house, I'm probably never going to get shot with a gun in my house.
What are you talking about?
Absolutely.
Don, that's a ridiculous way of thinking. Get a fucking gun. Better to have one and not need it than to need it and not have it.
I was saying I've never shot a gun in my life.
It's easy. You pull the trigger, boom, thing goes off.
But then I'm afraid that I'm going to get addicted to doing it.
You're not retarded.
I know.
Dude, you would be out there sucking dicks for crack money if you had that kind of a brain.
Yeah, no, I'm not...
Get a fucking gun.
See, I was scared to have one when I used to do a lot of drugs and drink a lot because I thought, like, I would be emotional and I'd be tripping and I'd pull my gun out not thinking and then I'd do something stupid. But now I don't really – I still do that.
It's a control issue. If you're worried about your own ability to control yourself, and there's a lot of hot-headed motherfuckers that shouldn't have a gun.
Right.
A lot of people have pulled the trigger and then realized what they've done afterwards, and their whole life is ruined.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not that guy.
I'm not that guy, though.
You're not that
guy.
No. You would have already had a bunch of, I'm not that guy, you're not that guy. You've already had a bunch of self-control issues.
This is how I think in my brain. I say, if someone broke into my house with my family there, right?
Right.
Whether or not I have a gun, I'm going to want to kill them. I'm going to try to... If I don't have a gun, I'm going to try... If they're attacking my family, I'm going to try to find something to kill them. Having a gun will probably make that a lot easier. I'm
going to
probably try anyway, so having a gun...
Shotgun. Make it,
yeah.
Get a shotgun. That's the move.
Or just start collecting Lord of the Rings swords, you know?
That's not good enough, man. You think you can kill a guy with a sword?
I have a samurai sword that's at my house right now, and I've been playing.
You've been practicing? You ready?
I'm ready to do some fucking Quentin Tarantino type killing.
That's a fucked up way to kill somebody. Somebody broke into a guy's house and a guy killed him with a samurai sword. It was like a year or two ago.
Samurai sword?
Yeah,
really?
He had a samurai sword.
That could go wrong.
Fuck yeah, it could. By the way, the guy could take it from you.
Yeah, and then
you could
stab
die
you with your own samurai
from a samurai sword. Oh, that would be the worst. One of the worst. Baseball bat's got to be a bad one, too.
This guy from this website called a Post-Apoc, he sent me a knife in the past. Well, now he just sent me this huge... He sent you one, too. One of those huge blades. Remember that crazy knife?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what do I do with all these knives this guy keeps on selling? So I'm like hiding them around the house. So now I have one under my bed, like if I have a bad hooker or something like that.
If you have a bad hooker, you're going to stab her with a Gurkha knife.
I used to keep a putter, an old putter next to my bed. And then like one day it just broke apart. I was like, thank God. And now my buddy's a cop, gave me one of those, those ones that go whoop and the whole thing pops
baton.
Out.
Baton.
What are
those? Is that what it's called? A baton? Retractable baton?
And the whole thing just
and it locks out, right? And it's metal.
And it's locked out, and it's metal.
You can fuck somebody up with that.
Badly.
Do you remember those things they used to have when we were kids? They were like leather, and inside it was like lead pellets. What's it called? A blackjack?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember those?
My dad used to tell me about those things.
Yeah, man. Whatever happened to blackjacks?
What?
They used to have those. Dudes get whacked with those all the time.
What's it look like?
It looks like sort of like a duck's beak.
Okay.
But it's made out of leather, and inside of it is like lead pellets, and it's got a handle on it, and you know it's like lead inside this leather, and so you just crack somebody with this.
So it's kind of like a more high tech version of like a sock with some marbles in it.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. Right. It's lead inside of leather.
High tech, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember brass knuckles?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Strong Island boys used to carry around brass knuckles.
That's a terrible way to fuck up your face.
Just horrible brass knuckles. I remember my buddy that wasn't in them bought one, and I was like, what are you doing, man?
It's like there's levels of shit that people try to do. It's like if you're using a weapon, brass knuckles are a weapon.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to almost kill him, or are you trying to kill him? What are you trying to do?
Yeah.
Because this is like some weird middle ground. You know, like you can kill someone with brass knuckles, but it's not totally your intent, right? If you put brass knuckles on, are you trying to beat a guy to death, or are you just trying to really kick his ass easy?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was a kid in my college that got into a fight and then hit a dude with a crowbar.
Oh, God.
And he killed him. He killed the guy.
Wow.
The guy died. It's like, you hit a guy with a crowbar.
God.
You don't know what you're doing. You're not like, he wasn't trying to kill him. But it's like, are you just trying to end it quickly? That's a horrible result. You have to know you're an idiot.
Can you imagine taking somebody's life?
No.
You took away years.
Not when you're not planning on it.
I know a dude who was working as a bouncer, and one of the guys he was working with punched a guy. And the guy fell down and hit his head on a curb, and that was it.
Yep.
Dead.
Yeah. That sucks.
One punch.
That sucks.
Just fell fucked up. And, you know, when people fall down outside, too, people don't realize that. When you fall, it's like getting hit by the world. You know,
yeah.
Imagine if somebody hit you from 5 feet away with the earth, you know, going 30 miles an hour or whatever the fuck it is when you fall. That's what it's like. You know, that's not good. When you get knocked out, that's bad. When you get knocked out and you fall down and smash your head off the concrete, that's way worse.
Yeah.
I've seen dudes many times go into seizures where they lock up and start snoring and making weird noises.
Oh, yeah.
That is so bad for you. Brass knuckles.
Yeah, brass knuckles.
What is it with those stores that would sell that shit and then weed pipes?
Bongs, yeah.
Make up your fucking mind, man. What do you want to do?
Which side of the store are you on?
They would have butterfly knives. Remember those butterfly knives?
Yeah.
What was the deal with those stupid things? Like, what a stupid knife.
If you have to do a jazz move before you take your knife out, you're just like, and then you're like, you have your fucking knife out. Just pull out the knife.
Here's a jazz move.
I remember as a kid having one of those knife blades that was a comb, and you were allowed to bring it to school. Like, they didn't have a problem back then.
Switchblade comb.
Switchblade comb. You were allowed to bring that to school.
I had one of those. Those were awesome. But it was just a comb.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought you were slick as shit when you pulled that bitch out.
Oh, yeah. It's the same guy that thought of the candy cigarettes. Yeah. You're like, what are you doing, man?
What a weird fucking loophole that is. You can have candy that's poison.
They still sell that. They still sell those.
Could you imagine if they had candy for kids that said, like, had a skull and crossbones on it, XXX, poison, death, and that was candy?
What if you saw, like, the guy, and the kids were cutting up lines and snorting lines of fucking,
yes.
I don't know. What are you guys doing?
Right.
It's Pop Rocks, dude. It's new shit.
It's the new way to do Pez.
What?
You smash your Pez up and you stuff it up your nose.
I don't know about
sniff
that.
Sniff them licks.
Right, exactly.
What are you doing?
Why is it okay to have candy fucking cigarettes?
Wow, why can't I get one vial of you know, cool juice that everyone's shooting? You're shooting juice into your vein? Everyone does it now, Mom.
It's no big deal. It's awesome. It tastes really good. It stimulates a part of your brain that works on taste and does it through your veins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What the fuck, man?
Candy cigarettes. What's funny is those candy cigarettes is that they actually sell them still, but they can't call them cigarettes anymore. So they call them like candy sticks or something
like
that. But so they're a candy stick, but when the end's red, like it's lit.
Yeah. The ones you used to put like sugar at the end, you can blow it and it would blow out smoke.
Oh, I never had the deluxe ones.
Oh, yeah.
Brian, you did the fake cigarettes for a while, the electronic cigarettes,
yeah,
to try to get off the cigarettes?
Yeah, well, it was when they first were starting to come over, like maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, when they first started to come over here from overseas. And so I had this idea, like I was doing a lot of reviews, like tech reviews and stuff. So I thought, hey, I want to quit smoking. I want to review this. So I contacted all these companies and I was like, hey, you know, I want to review these things and make a video out of it. So all these companies sent me their like samples and products of their things. So for a couple of weeks straight, I was smoking only electronic cigarettes, and they had a cigar version too that you loved, the cigar one. But then I noticed that I was spitting up blood.
And yeah, it's got a chemical in it, right?
It's got a chemical used in smoke machines, like at dance clubs and stuff like that, like a fog machine. I forget the name of the chemical, but what one of the negative parts about that chemical is it dries out. It will dry you out. It will dry your skin out, or if you put it in your throat, it will dry your fucking throat out. So I was getting like these lesions on my throat from my throat being so fucking dry that I started spitting out blood. So I pretty much was like, fuck doing a review. And I told all these people that sent me the products, like, look, I'm not going to do this review for you because I don't want...
Oh my God.
I'm just going to bash what you're selling, because bloody throat is a lot different than fucking inhaling smoke.
When you asked the company, were they all electronic cigarette companies, or were they other, like, I know of one when I was trying, they tried to put these magnets behind your earlobe.
What?
Yeah, they gave me like these magnets that you put behind your earlobe.
I've seen that. What is that?
And then it's supposed to stop. I don't know what it was supposed to stop your cravings for smoking cigarettes. And
did it work?
Make you quit. I'd never tried. You
know, I think that sounds like bullshit.
I'm sorry. This is kind of funny. This FDA release on these electronic cigarettes is actually kind of funny. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration today announced that a laboratory analysis of electronic cigarette samples has found that they contain carcinogens and toxic chemicals such as diethylene glycol, an ingredient used in antifreeze. It's amazing that they decided to release this press release. What they're basically saying is the fake poison is poison.
Yep.
What about the real shit, you fuckheads? Why are you releasing this on these electronic cigarettes and not clamoring for the removal of cigarettes from fucking stores and grocery stores? I go to the grocery store and there's a goddamn cigarette carton area where you can buy poison.
Yeah.
You can buy addictive drugs that don't do anything for you, or they do something for you. They stimulate your – like Stephen King said that when he quit cigarettes, his writing actually suffered a little.
Really?
Yeah. He had a harder time firing his synapses up when
it's
he was
probably because 20% of his head is thinking, "I want a cigarette. I want to just go outside and have a cigarette."
You know what?
His brain doesn't work as fast. I mean, I know it's a stimulant, some sort of does something. You know,
I'm almost a year done. I quit by hypnosis.
Really?
Yeah, I went got hypnotized 3 times. Never. On the second one is the one you quit.
Wow.
Never had a cigarette. I smoked on the way in.
Whoa. You smoked on the way in. They did the hypnosis. The hypnosis thing to me seems to only work if you really truly want it to work.
Exactly.
You prepare for it. You go in there like sort of like under the agreement that you're going to give into this experience and it's going to change you. And if you believe that, it's almost like a placebo effect for the mind.
Here's how it worked for me.
Or if you can get hypnotized, I can't.
I had said that. Though. I was never hypnotized. Here's how I put it: if the doctor touched my dick, I would have known about it. But I was in another area. Like I would have been. I wouldn't have been like, oh, now I, you know, someone says chicken, and I start blowing everyone in the room. You know, like, I never got to that point. I don't know if I could ever be that guy. But I was in a place. Like he would get me to a place where I was thinking about other shit, and I heard him like just being like, "No, you're not a smoker anymore. This is not part of your life, and these are things that you don't do anymore. You don't need cigarettes. It's not who you." And he just kept repeating this shit. But I was like, "Oh, I'm on a beach, and then look at the fucking tits on that, and then I'm like all like just going off in a different place." And he just kept talking to me, and then it would be over.
So you were listening to him, and you were fantasizing about other different things?
I was thinking about other things. Like, he would be like, think about whatever you want to think about. And then, you start doing, like, I don't want to think about anything. But yesterday, when Ari told me he didn't want to think about Ari, and then you're all over the place. You
right.
can't not You can't not just think about nothing. So while I'm off thinking about this, he's literally, like, whispering, but in a soft way, like just this these things. Every once in a while, I'd go back over here and be like, "What is what the fuck are you saying?" And be like, oh, "I don't smoke. Yeah, I don't smoke. Oh, but I'm back over here." And he did that for like 5 or 6 minutes.
Wow.
To me, that was the entire hypnosis part of it. But the beginning of it, like he'd start off every session with, like I knew I wanted to quit. I have to want to quit, but I would go in there and those conversations, like, you know, like, oh, you should quit smoking. Yeah, no, I know. Well, you know, it's cancer and everything. Yeah, no, I get it. It's that conversation that lasts for 3 minutes that now is he's drawing it out for 40 minutes. He's like, no, it's not if you're going to die. It's when you're going to die. And your son's going to come visit you in the hospital. And he's going to go into the room and he's going to see all the tubes going inside of you. How do you think that's going to make him feel? Do you think he's going to... And just painting, like, worst fucking case scenario... And then he does the hypnosis thing, and at the end, it was gave me like a little mantra to say whenever I had a craving, and I haven't had a cigarette since the moment.
How many times
I walked out
of thought about it today?
Today, zero.
Zero. Wow.
In the first day,
well, maybe you should
40.
Do it. You know, your problem is, Brian, you're a super, super, super skeptical. You're so skeptical, you would never be willing to give in to anything like that.
My sister had it done, and she audio-recorded it, and I wish I still had the CD, because I used to listen to it in my car and laugh my ass off. And, yeah. And it was only one time for her that she went, and it worked for 2 months, but it was just like this chick saying stuff like, ew, cigarettes are going to gross. They make you look fat. Ew, you don't want cigarettes. Like, and my sister was like, I don't remember any
really?
Of this.
Maybe this is like some lady devised her own technique.
Yeah, her own technique. Well, they all are their own technique.
I mean, what do you really have
know.
To say?
That's a good question.
We could put a phone number up right now and say we're hypnosis and that we cure cigarette people. We'd probably have 3 people calls tomorrow. I mean, what credentials do you need to...
Right.
I didn't ask for a fucking diploma. I was in this guy's like living room, like, you know, like a garage area. There was nothing nice around, but I just got like through a referral from another person. But like, wow. What do you need to? You don't need to be a doctor to do hypnosis.
Yeah,
do you?
It's sort of a sketchy sort of a job.
All psychiatrists, because most of them don't really exist. I mean, there's some that
all
are probably
what? Psychiatrist.
Well, I mean, hypnotic people.
Hypnotists, not psychiatrists. Hypnotists. It's like psychics. Like, is that real? You know
I
what
don't
I mean?
Know.
Like when you drive down the street and you see these fucking houses that
a lot
they have
of
psychics in their house, you know, like psychic readings.
Right.
There's a lot down the street. Like, as I'm driving to go get something to eat, I'll see these houses and I think about stopping in. I did once when I was in New York.
Like a neon sign. It's a psychic.
Yeah.
You can open it like 1 a.m.
Yeah. I went in and it was just a house, you know. It was just a small house. And it was in Manhattan. I forget where it was. Somewhere I was doing an audition. And I had like an hour and a half to kill. So let me go get a fucking psychic reading. This bitch couldn't have been more wrong about things in my life. Like more wrong.
And how are you? Were you like, nope?
I said, yeah, no. You're very close with your father. I haven't seen him since 07. It was like, it was that kind of shit.
Oh,
it was just
no.
The worst. She was terrible. I'm like, you're just guessing. And then I got angry. I go, this is just, guy. I gave you $20 to fake me out and guess. I go, okay, thank you. I learned. I learned my lesson.
Those psychics are just like lazy people that bought a sign.
They're
you know
scam artists.
I mean, they're like, I don't want to leave the house anymore. I'm just going to be a psychic.
Have they ever answered why, if they were psychic, they wouldn't have an office building, I don't know, like GE? Like,
right.
Wouldn't they be
wouldn't
very
you know
wealthy?
Everything? Yeah.
Like, have they ever answered that question?
People have said that you can't use it for personal gain. I've heard that. That you can use it for power cannot be used for personal gain.
Jesus made that.
What kind of silly, stupid thing is that? Like, you don't think there's ever going to be one rogue psychic who's going to be like, I'm not following this shit. I'm going to go fucking make a ton of money.
Yeah.
Like Biff in Back to the Future was like, I got this book that tells me what the fucking, who's going to win every sports game. I'm going to bet on it. And he had like Biff Enterprises in Back to the Future too.
There's been a bunch of different people that have offered huge rewards for anyone to prove psychic ability. You know, I think Penn and Teller had something going on with that for a while, but they're very vocal about psychics being bullshit, you know. Hence the name of their show. And they, there's been a bunch of other people. And no one's ever been really able to prove that there's a psychic ability. The only psychic ability that has been proven, and this is a very odd one, and we all kind of knew about this one, you can tell when people are looking at you. People can tell.
Oh, yeah.
They can
like
sense
where
when people
like,
are looking at you. You know, you can't figure out what the fucking lottery is. You're not going to know who's going to win the World Series in 2013. But you can tell when people are looking at you. It's a weird thing. It's statistically proven that they've done controlled studies where, you know, people were looking in another direction and they had to say when they thought someone was looking at them. And it was It was measurable. It was a measurable
even
thing.
From like behind or like yeah. your blind spots.
And I would have to say that in those any sort of a test situation, that would be the worst time to be using some of that. Trying to do that because I would think you'd be so aware that you're in a test. You'd be so aware, okay, yeah. I'm being judged.
Your spidey senses would be on high alert.
Well, not only that, they would be all fucked up. They'd be all fucked up by this artificial situation where you're monitoring your instincts. You know, but I have this many times in my life where I was like, what the fuck is going on? I turn and look and someone's giving me the mad dog. And I'm like, whoa.
I'm
going
to do my own thing now. I'm going to be like waiting in a Best Buy just staring at someone just to see that person.
Do your own test.
12:15, they did not turn around.
I think it's not 100%. I think it's probably not even 50%. But I think there's something there that every now and then pops in when someone can just reach out with their energy and touch you. And I think it's also probably has to do with the kind of intent that they have in their mind while they're staring at you. I think if someone's staring at you and like, you know, and they're like, oh, this guy seems like he's got his shit together. I like the way he dresses, you know. Hey, he's fucking got a cool T-shirt on. Like, maybe then you're going to be like, you know, let him look at me.
Yeah.
It's cool. but if you're like, you know, this guy, I think I could fuck him. I'm pretty sure I could fucking just fold him down, fucking
whoa.
Hit him with a rock and keep him alive long enough to fuck him. You know what I mean? Sorry.
Whoa.
Yeah. Then maybe, you know, it would come up.
You'd be like,
don't be greedy with that talk. Just to me. You don't have to just give me the eyes when you do that talk. Steve wants to listen.
It's very comfortable for me to look to my left for some reason. Whenever I have violent thoughts.
That's perfect.
I always try to attack from the left side.
That's good.
I think that there's something to the human mind that is not, it's not static. What we have right now, our abilities right now, are probably evolving. And our ability to recognize our environment and to tune in to other people, I think that's probably evolving. You know, they say that just a few thousand years ago, people could not read silently. This was a trick that someone had learned how to do. It was one of the saints, and one of the ways that this guy proved his sainthood was that he could recite things that he had just read. He could close the book and he would look at the book and not say anything aloud, so they didn't know he was reading. And he would read things and then close the book and then recite what he just read. And they thought that this guy was a deity. They thought that he was a priest or they thought that he was a saint because he had this ability that no one else could do. He could read silently. Like, it makes sense when you think about it.
Because
you remember when you were a little kid, you couldn't read silently. You would read Ustream.tv. You'd have to spell it out. You'd have to say it. You'd have to make the noise, and you'd have to recognize the noise after you make it. Well, then people learned how to make the noise in their head. You know, they didn't always know how to do that. And this is it's probably an evolution of language. You know, an evolution of the way we interface with language. But it's also like, it may be something in our minds. It may be something that we didn't have the ability to process before, and we do now because written type and reading is very commonplace,
mm-hmm.
that we have developed this ability to do this. It's very possible that the minds that we are working with are, you know, much different than the minds of a few thousand years ago. You know, when there was no mass media and there was no phones, there was no nothing, there's always been some weird speculation that people were able to tune into Mother Gaia, that some people were able to tune into the forest and able to tune into information that comes from all the animals and nature around you. Like, there was a show, Charles Carralt on the Road. I know we've talked about this before, but there was a guy who used to live in Alaska, and he said that he was a prospector. He would live out there by himself for months at a time, and after a while, he could talk to the animals with his brain.
What? Really?
And then when he would come back into town, eventually it would go away. But he had he said there wasn't words, but there was a way of communicating with animals that you would have. Because there was no TV, there was no radio, you got tuned into different things. It sounds totally like horseshit, but
Dr. Doolittle.
But if you talk to like the Indians or the natives in Peru, when they brew this ayahuasca stuff, this psychedelic beverage.
Yeah, Robin Quivers just went down and did it.
Well, the thing about ayahuasca is they've been doing it for 10,000 years, way before written history.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask them how they learned how to do this. I mean, the speculation is 10,000 years ago. The real evidence is probably only like a couple thousand. But when they ask these people how they figured out how to do this, they say that the forest told them. That the plants told them how to do this, told them how to make this. There's over 100,000 different plants in the Amazon. They figured out how to take the leaves of one and the root and the vines of another and combine them. because one of them contains the chemical DMT and the other one contains what's called an MAO inhibitor, something called harmine, because you can't eat this psychedelic stuff. You can't eat DMT because it exists in so many different things that if you eat it, your body has the ability to break it down inside your stomach with monoamine oxidase. So this stuff called harmine, this other plant that produces this natural MAO inhibitor, they have to mix this stuff in and they have to boil it and they have to break it down over hours and hours. How the fuck did these people living on dirt floors and huts with no books, how the fuck did they ever figure out how to take these plants and put them together? Well, they say that the forest told them how to do it. It sounds ridiculous.
Or there's a thousand dead people around.
Yeah, a thousand.
Like, nope, not that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't put those two together. And you guys see Frank? He's fucked, bro.
Yeah, the real question is, when did this information about the forest telling them to do this happen? Did it happen after they took the ayahuasca? Because that would make a lot of sense.
And why did they just stop with ayahuasca? Why wouldn't they just keep, like, give us more, give us other good shit, you know?
Dude, you don't need anything else once you do the ayahuasca. You really don't. You know,
really?
Robin Quivers is talked about it, and, you know, I've talked about it, you know, I've tuned Stanhope into it. And there's a bunch of people that I know that have had DMT in their life. And once you've done it, everything else seems completely silly. Everything. The economy seems silly. Your life seems silly. Driving and traffic seems silly. Media seems silly. Everything seems silly and juvenile and temporary.
How long? What is, I mean, it's not like a thing where you can go out. You need like a week.
Well, you need some time to digest it. You don't need time to do the drug. If you smoke DMT, it only takes about 15 minutes. If you take ayahuasca, the orally active version, it's a less potent version of the experience, but it's over a few hours as opposed to over 15 minutes. So, but what it is the most trippy experience, the most bizarre, outside of this world, the most separate experience you could ever possibly have. And once you've had that, you know, and you start talking about why doesn't he do other things? Why doesn't he figure out, you know, how to make a fucking jet car? You know, why don't the plants teach him how to do that?
Yeah.
You just want to go back to that world. Those fucking people that live in the Amazon, man, they like doing it all the time. They just do it. They just tune in to the spirit world and astral travel and fucking illuminate snakes that fly through the air.
Does it make pot different? Like, can you go back? Like, can you be like, I wish? Or is it something like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what do you mean?
Does it make, like, the experience of smoking pot, like, any different now at all?
I think less
important or less fun or
I think that you first of all, one time I had a flashback after I took it from smoking pot. I've never been able to do it again.
Really?
But one time I did DMT and then a week later I was smoking weed and I had a flashback, a real flashback where I got to the door. There's a door to, like, when you have the DMT experience, it's a very fucked up experience. And for those of you that are anti-drug and for those of you that are listening to this that are like, you know, what kind of fucking loser is talking about doing drugs and what the fuck is this stupid shit and this kid's listening? I think human beings owe an obligation to tell the truth about their experiences. And there is something to this that's very life-changing. It changed me, for sure. It still is changing me. It's my DMT experiences, for sure, have made me a better person, a nicer person, more sensitive, more aware of the universe. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I'm under a lot of pressure. Sometimes I snap at people. I try to keep it all together as much as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
But for sure, I'm absolutely different at my core because of having the DMT experience. All drugs aren't good for you, but some drugs are. You know, and they're not too good for everybody. We should have fucking shamans. We should have places where you could go, where you could go to some professional place where this guy is sanctioned by the community. Now, this is the guy that knows how to do mushrooms. And you go to this guy's house, and he's got brilliant mushrooms, and they're all perfect, and he grows them himself, so there's nothing sketchy. And how many mushroom trips you've been on? 1,000. Okay. All right. 1,000. Shit.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
How many grams are we going to do today? Well, this is what we're going to do. You're going to be in this room, silent darkness. You're going to do 5 grams. I'm going to be outside the door. I'm going to be totally sober. I have a phone. I have a car. I can take you to the hospital if you need to. But the freak out's really only in your mind, and you're going to be fine physically. Just don't worry about it. I've been there 1,000 times. Nobody dies from this shit. And then you could go and do it instead of being over your friend's house and you fucking escape into the woods and then you get too fucked up in the woods. You don't know how to get back to your house.
That sounds so much better, the second one, instead of having some creepy dude sitting outside of a bedroom door with a phone ready to call the police on you.
But it's funny, though. But
if it was legal, he wouldn't be calling the police.
But like, I do that now with, like I called Ari today. I was like, can you get me some breath strips? I'm going to Vegas. And he's like, all right, this this is the one you're getting. You take a third if you want this. You take two thirds if you want that. Hour to kick in, 5 hours, and a half hour later you'd be hungry. It, like, it was.
Ari is someone you can trust with that. And you cannot trust Joey Diaz.
I know, I'm telling you.
Take two.
Yeah.
Take two and then call me in an hour and 20 minutes.
Ari's the guy that I asked about that and about, like, mortgage rates. He's like, don't take it yet. And I swear to God, it's like the two things I trust him the most about.
That's hilarious.
To be on time, no. To pick me up at the airport, no. To not fuck my wife, probably not. If he got a chance, he would do it just for the story.
So now to use Google, no.
But one time me and Ari, I was driving him home from the Comedy Store, and I had to pick something at my house, and he goes, can I just go into your room? I was like, for the goof, okay. And he gets into bed, and my wife's leaving there, he gets into bed, he just curls up next to her, and she's
no,
like,
he didn't.
I'm standing right there, she goes, what the fuck? She goes, and she smells. She goes, Ari? And Ari goes, what? I thought this was going to be okay. And I just started laughing. But she smelt him first. That's the best part.
She smelled.
She's like,
do you have
God,
a specific
Ari.
Odor? Do you smell like cinnamon?
Ari just, you know.
Ari has an antique bookstore smell.
Yeah, he does. It's like old socks.
Yeah.
Like that book that you find in the corner when you clean your
old
house.
Cum,
Ari's one of those dudes that might not shower for a week.
We play basketball on Tuesdays. He's like, just to warn. We played it against each other. He's like, just to warn you, I haven't showered since Sunday. So,
are you serious?
So when you take me down low, just remember that the smell is real. And it's on purpose.
That's so disgusting.
That's how I get your brain.
Here's how he got fucking staff. This guy, you know, he had this huge fucking thing on his knee. It was from jiu-jitsu. But it was from not showering, man.
You gotta shower right
now. And not even dealing with it. Like, he didn't know there's something wrong. He thought he got bit by a spider.
Oh my
God. If it wasn't for me noticing that he was limping, he might be dead. Like, I'm not kidding. Staph infections can fucking kill you.
Yeah.
They really should have some shit up at every jiu-jitsu gym showing you different, like, swollen things. Like, see this? That's a staph infection.
Yeah.
See this? This is impetigo. This is herpes. You can get this shit from the mat. You got to be careful. This is what you got to do. Right after you get off the mat, you got to wash yourself with some probiotic, like defense soap, like eucalyptus oil, tea tree oil, shit like that. Stuff that kills. But do it right after you get off the fucking mats. You don't go home and sit around and eat fucking pizza, you know, like Ari.
Yeah, well,
and then not shower for two more days.
There's the guy who's just too lazy, and then there's the guy that's like, oh, I'm a tough guy. I can go do whatever I want to do after, or I'll go, you know, whatever. It's like, just be clean.
Ari had a little volcano on his knee, man. It freaked me out because we were playing pool, and he was limping. And I go, what's going on? He told me about the spider bite. I go, let me see it. He pulls his pants up, and he's got a little red volcano on his knee.
Yeah, and it's hot, right?
Yeah, I go, dude, that's a fucking staph infection. You need to go to a hospital right now. I unscrewed my cue. He's like, you're serious? I go, I'm deadly serious. I go, you need to go to a hospital this moment. Don't wait an hour. You need to go right now, or you could die.
I've had two staph infections in
my
legs.
What the fuck?
And they had to put stuff like gauze in there and leave it there for a week and then pull it out.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
How'd you get it?
Basketball.
It's all about sports. That's why I've never had a staph.
Well, it's really washing yourself afterwards. Just, it's also taking probiotics. You got to take a bunch of different probiotics. You know what I like that's probiotic? Kimchi. Pickled cabbage. If you get that from, it's delicious.
Is it good?
Yeah, love
sounds
it.
Sounds awesome.
I'm not
love
a cabbage
it.
Fan.
Oh,
I'm not
fucking
a big
cabbage
fan.
Rules. What's wrong with you?
You got to try some. I'll give you some afterwards.
Oh, sauerkraut and cabbage.
It's spicy, though. It's like a spicy Korean cabbage, but you can get it at some organic places, and it's probiotic. What they do is they take the cabbage, and they leave it out for like a few days, and then, you know, you pickle it with a bunch of different things. I don't know exactly the whole process, but the whole idea is that getting live organisms into your body that are healthy, you know, that's like really important to do after you've had a colonic. If you want to get water blown into your asshole.
I've done it twice.
Have you done the colonic?
I heard it's bullshit.
I'm thinking about doing it.
I did it
twice. I've heard it's bullshit and I've heard it's awesome. I don't know what's true.
I did it today. It was a tough... This one lady... Oh, this is going to be awful. All right. This one lady did it. The first lady that I went to, right? She did it and it didn't hurt that bad. And it wasn't as awkward as I thought it was going to be. So I made a point with this lady to do it again. They call me like... They're like, this lady's tough to get. So you have to... You want her? I'm like, yeah. My wife's water breaks. The day we're having but I have the colonic appointment that day. But it just broke, and I'm like, look, the doctor said you're supposed to chill out, relax, take a shower. I'm going to go run, get my colonic, and I'll be back. And she's like, oh my God. You're going to keep it. I go, this lady's so tough to get. And I got
oh
it.
Oh, my
and
God.
I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, I know you have at least 2 hours.
You're so crazy.
I ran and did the colonic. I go, now we both know. We both have had shit pulled from. Everything's going to be, we're on the even playing field now. Everything's going to be good. I feel better.
Your like, shit and her baby are not the same.
I know.
How LA. I had to run because my kid's colonic. Getting about to be delivered.
I knew I had time. I knew it. I mentally prepared for this fucking thing. You know, you got to. Mentally,
you went straight Hollywood, son.
On the way back, I grabbed a soy latte. It was good.
Never had coffee.
Wow. Yeah, he's not a coffee drinker.
No.
What about coffee enemas? What's that all about?
I don't know.
People stuffing coffee
what
their
does that
asshole.
Mean? I don't understand what that.
You never heard of that?
No.
Yeah, ground coffee. Somehow or another, they take coffee and they pump it up their asshole. I don't know what that's about. It's supposed to be good
for
you.
How do you get it up your asshole?
I guess you use like one of those things that you use to blow air on a fireplace.
What are those things called?
Fireplace bellows.
In the beginning, I was like, oh, he knows how. Oh, no, that's not right. That thing doesn't right. That's not right.
Maybe a turkey baster. You could have a big-ass turkey baster stuffing up your ass.
Fuck. Why coffee? And how many different things?
Because of the caffeine, probably.
People, look, man, the same people that invented ayahuasca, they said, what happens if you pour coffee up your ass? What's next? Let's combine these two things. I don't know, man. I guess it would just go right into your bloodstream. There's a woman online. Her YouTube name, I think, is NeuroSoup. And she has a very fascinating story about taking DMT up her ass.
What?
Oh, yeah. She put DMT up her ass, and there it goes right into your bloodstream because, you know, it's open. As opposed to, you know, if you eat it and it has to go through your stomach and everything. So she takes this DMT up her ass and has this 30-minute trip as opposed to like a 15-minute trip. You know, she probably got some fucking insane dose. Because when you smoke it, you know, you're breaking it down. It's got to go into your lungs. I mean, it's probably much less than if you actually inject it right into your asshole.
You mainline it into your asshole.
People will try anything
I know.
To get high. I mean, how about those fucking assholes that get arrested and they have paint all over their face?
Yeah.
Because they've been
puffing paint.
Puffing bags of paint.
Oh, God. I used to do keyboard cleaner back in the day.
Keyboard cleaner?
Yeah. It was like the shit that you sprayed on your keyboards to clean and stuff. And it was like whippets. It pretty much like you'd do it, and then you start hearing the wah 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 thing.
Oh my
and
God!
And I remember I was with my friend, He gets so pissed when I say this, but it was with my friend, and he was like, oh, "I'm a badass." We're driving his little CRX, and he fucking does it while we're driving, and we're coming up.
Wait, who's driving? You or him?
No, he is.
He's driving.
Yeah, and he pulls it out, and I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing?" He goes, "Dude, don't worry about it. I'm not doing a lot." And he fucking passes out.
What?
Foot goes on the gas.
Just like this, he's like, "Hey, man, it's your fault." He's just fucking here, pulling his head up.
Yeah,
we get a Bernie style.
What a fucking great quote! Don't worry, I'm not doing a lot.
And he passes that foot on the gas and was going up on a railroad track, so you couldn't see if a car was coming on the other side of the railroad track. So I was freaking out, and I pulled up his emergency brake and he skidded out and crashed his car.
Oh my God.
The first thing he comes through, he goes, "What the fuck happened?" And he gets out and goes, "What the fuck, man? My car." I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about doing this shit passing out with your foot on the gas?"
He was mad at you.
He was mad at me. And I was like,
Here's what you should have done.
You, dude.
I don't know how close you are with this guy, but you should have rolled out of the car and let destiny fucking take care of this guy.
Yeah, you should have gone Steve Austin style.
This guy should have just been like, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
And if he dies, no.
Rolling out of the car is dangerous as fuck. That shit doesn't really work. You hit your head on the concrete.
Yeah.
It looks awesome in the movies, but the reality of rolling out of the car.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah, you're basically falling onto the concrete at 30 miles an hour or whatever the fuck you're fast you're going. How fast were you going when you crashed?
Probably not. I mean, we're probably going 25 when he did it, and then we probably went up to like 45 because it was like on the gas. It was like,
oh my God.
It was scary as fuck.
Where's that dude now?
Well, he joined the Air Force, and then he...
he's one of the Special Six.
Now
he's SEAL Team Six. They killed the frozen Bin Laden.
And he came out of the closet and told everyone except me, which is odd. And then now he works for a company.
So he's gay.
Yeah, but he hasn't told his parents or anyone. He's told all my friends
except
me. No
wonder he did so much drugs. He was trying to mask.
Yeah, I guess that's probably what it is, right?
Yeah, he's probably going, I want to blow Brian so bad. I can't. I got to just get high. I just got to stay fucking, got to change what's going on in my brain for a minute.
There was a study that somebody put up on the Rogan board, on the message board, about the increase, the number of people that are gay that have cancer as opposed to straight people. And it's a much higher percentage of gay people.
Yeah?
Yeah, and we were trying to speculate what the fuck that is, whether it's drugs, because gay people party their asses off. You know, especially young gay dudes. Mm-hmm. They party like fucking crazy.
Every night of the week, too.
Yeah, there's no, like, crazy Sunday off.
Like, Santa Monica Boulevard, like those bars and stuff, it's like Mardi Gras every night.
Yeah, yeah. I went to this place called the Abbey here in Los Angeles, which is one of the bigger ones, I guess. Mm-hmm. I went with a bunch of girls, and it was like 2 in the afternoon on a Sunday, full party. I mean hundreds and hundreds of people drunk, like, partying their asses off.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
No.
It looks like a fun life, except for all the AIDS and cancer and bad sex.
Yeah. You know, it's not fun. It's great going, like Ari Shaffir's old joke, it's great going being, like, you know, straight guy, because all the chicks there are, like, thinking everyone's gay. So they're like, oh.
They're never gonna trust you.
Yeah.
They're always going to think you're partially gay.
Right. But going into the bathroom, though, was, like, the worst experience, because there's not only drug use, like, fucking everywhere, people doing cocaine on the sinks and everything like that, but, like, the stall is just one of those big, bathtubs.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right.
You make this sound like it's Woodstock. Like, you have fun while you're there because you get to hear Hendrix, but you come out filthy. You're just
the stall's a bathtub? What
do you mean? You know, like those urinal stalls?
Oh, where it's like, one of those.
No dividers.
Those are weird. What are those weird
troughs?
Yeah, troughs. Those you get a lot on the road.
Yeah.
If you're in some weird bar in, like, Oklahoma, you'll get a lot of those troughs.
You know where they have those at Fenway?
Do they?
Those troughs, yeah.
Makes sense.
They just have, like,
those,
like,
dirty animals. Just give them somewhere nonspecific to pee. Fucking savages.
Just show me a hole to put my piss into. Doesn't matter what it looks like.
One of the worst times ever, I used to be a manager of this coffee shop called Perfect Cup Cappuccino. It was when cappuccino just became big in the United States. Like, there was all these coffee shops popping up everywhere. And right next door to it was one of the grossest gay bars in Columbus, Ohio. And this is, like, goth gay. This is, like, fucking the worst gay ever. And
what is goth gay? Do they have that? Is that a style?
I don't know.
They hate everything.
Yeah.
They hate everything.
It's awful.
Other gay people, themselves, their parents, everything.
And the woman that owned this place, God bless her, she was just, like, this fucking cute little old lady that her husband died, so she's died. She was bored and sad, so she took all her money to get this nice little coffee shop. And so she's training me to be, like, a manager of this place. And there's this window looking in the backyard of this building, which is like an alley. And she goes, now I made this little curtain, and she sewed this curtain to put it over the window at certain times. I'm like, she's like, sometimes you're going to have to shut this curtain because of this place next door. I'm like, what is she talking about? One time, and so I used to just, now this job I worked at was fucking awful. Like, I would come there at like 5 a.m. and work till like 2 p.m. every single day. And there would be guys passed out in the back of this gay bar that just, like, had sex out in the back of the alley and then passed out on the ground. And so one time I just sit there and listen to Howard Stern for hours. That was my only thing to do. No one ever came into this coffee shop, you know? Uh-huh. So one time I'm, like, making chicken salad or something in the back of the place. I look, and there's just fucking three guys completely naked, fucking butt sex. There's fucking needles everywhere.
Fuck a curtain.
Just like, and I'm just
God.
Like,
you should wall that fucking window up, dude. You
just
never have
put
to
a
see.
Wall and fill it up with cement.
Gee, I wonder why no one went over to your coffee shop. You're listening to Stern and there's a butt fuck going on next door. Exactly, there's a welcome sign out front.
Felt so bad.
Jesus, man.
I was like, she wanted a logo horrible. And she was going to pay me. I was like, you know what? I'll just make the logo for you. You know?
Wow.
I just felt so bad for this. I only lasted like a month there, but I just became so depressed. And then, like, those guys.
Why are you just depressed? It sounds like they were having a good time.
No, because it was so awful. It was just like those people would then come after having butt sex every morning. These homeless butt sex guys. They'd come in and get coffees every day, and they would just, like, hang out and smell like butt sex and fucking Ari. And they're like,
oh, God. old books,
and it was just the grossest. Like, it looked like a country kitchen with butt sex homeless people.
It's weird how gay dudes will totally take over a neighborhood.
Yeah,
they tell everybody, hey, man, I'm moving here. Why don't you move here too? And I'll just fuck all day.
Yeah.
And then they get like a whole group of them. Lesbians have never figured out how to rock that.
No.
They can't really organize the way gay dudes can. Gay dudes can take over whole neighborhoods. Yeah. You know, like, we're going to San Francisco this weekend, by the way, Cobb's Comedy Club.
What made you think of San Francisco?
Almost sold out, bitches. Because there's a lot of butt sex going on in San Francisco. Son. Cobb's Comedy Club this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with Sam Tripoli. Oh, shit! And Tom Segura. It's a fucking double whammy,
that's
folks.
That's fucking good.
That's two headliners open up for me.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah, dude. Those guys are killers. We're going to have a good fucking time. But, you know, there's areas of San Francisco that are, like, hugely gay. Just like, I think Santa Monica Boulevard, though, tops it. As far as, like, exclusively gay.
It's the gayest place on the planet.
It's one of, it's like the epicenter of homo.
It's better, it's bigger than even, like Chelsea down in New York.
It
is. It's close, but yeah. There's just so many people in New York
and
that
it's so
like,
concentrated.
Gonna, yeah, but West Hollywood, it's just like, there's no like rolling into West Hollywood and being like, what are you fucking guys doing here? It's right. Like, no, what the fuck are you doing here,
yeah,
bro?
Yeah, exactly.
There's the gay flag is our flag of Santa Monica Boulevard. It's like, this is our place.
When you drive by Rage, have you ever driven by Rage on like a Friday and Saturday night?
Dude, it's like Carnival outside.
Yeah, they
people
don't
are
give
just
a
going
fuck.
Crazy.
It certainly seems like they're having more fun.
I picked up one of those newspapers that had all the hookers and escorts and stuff like that, and they have like whole pages with trannies. And one of the things that says on it is 100% working, fully functional trannies. Mm. Does that mean like they got the vagina and now the vagina works so you can fuck it?
So I don't think so. I think they have a dick.
Oh, so that's what's fully functional.
If I had a guess, I would say that their dick still works, but they're transvestite, not a transsexual. Because when you say trannies, like I think transsexual is like they want to be a woman.
Right.
But a transvestite, they want to be a
man
dressed as a
dressed
woman.
As a woman. Yeah, transsexuals are probably the people that are starting the process of becoming the
other
gender.
That's possible, too. But there's some of them are just dudes that just, for whatever weird reason, like to dress up like girls.
Like Chaz Bono is... What, a transsexual?
I don't know, but I almost had to watch that. I had to take Mrs. Rogan somewhere, and I was in a waiting room for an hour, and I was watching Good Morning America, and then they were talking about Oprah being on Next. You know, not Next, it was like at 3 p.m., and I was like, God damn it, I might have to watch this. They keep teasing me with this Chaz Bono thing. I want to see this story. I want to know the real truth.
You won't get it from Oprah.
I want to get it from listening to her talk. If I get it, I might get it from listening to
him. Oh, just hearing the answers of the questions.
It's got to be that she was ignored. That's the only thing that makes sense.
I get to see your wife's like, all right, let's go. And I'm like, no, I got to watch the rest of this Oprah.
I understand.
I have it taped at home.
I understand lesbians because I think women are hot. I get it. You do
too. I get that too.
I get it. Yeah. It makes sense to me.
And her girlfriend, Chaz's girlfriend is cute. She's a cute girl.
Really?
Yeah.
She's
on the show
name.
Too.
She's got a name, bro. She's got some fucking pull. It must work in the lesbian community as well.
Yeah,
you
she's
know?
A very popular. I mean,
she's
when
an
your
alpha.
Mom, no matter what you are, is Cher, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, Cher and Sonny Bono.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad. It's a story. It's worth saying, you know?
I dated.
Who are you dating this year? Oh. Chaz Bono, huh?
Yeah, that's interesting. Hmm. Okay.
But what I was going to say is I understand wanting to be gay. I don't understand wanting to be the other sex. But, you know, maybe it's just my own mind, you know? I mean, maybe
don't knock until you try it, Joe.
Exactly. Maybe some dudes are just wired a certain way. I have a friend whose son is becoming a girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his son is, like, just turning 18 and wants to be a girl. So he's going through all the different steps, but... You know, this poor fuck is in a bad situation. He's in the middle of a crazy divorce and all kinds of other shit. But just the idea of your son wanting to be a girl, like, you know, like, fuck, man.
What does Holtzman say about it?
Hey, easy. Easy, son. That's actually, he's joking around. That's a Holtzman joke. One of his best.
Oh, God.
I used to call that out from the back of the room
the
time.
I miss that guy.
I miss those days at the Comedy Store, man. We had some good fucking times in that club.
Oh, yeah,
a lot of bad energy, but a lot of good times. You know what I heard that's hilarious?
What?
Two different people have told me this story. That Tommy said that he used to be an actor, and he wanted to be an actor, but too many homos were hitting on him.
Of course. used to run an all-male review dance show down in Tampa, I think it was. Jacksonville, Florida.
Really?
And, yeah, he had like a... He like truly wanted to become an actor.
He was an all-male review guy? What does that mean?
He would host the all-male review dance show. So it was like a gay strip show,
and
he was
host
the host.
It?
Yeah, but he never liked when the gays came on to him.
Wow.
So
that's why he stayed out of acting?
So that's why, yeah. He was just... It was him and Johnny Depp, I think, are the two most irresistible... Don't you think Johnny Depp would have been like the guy that's like, look, I'm not getting into acting because I get hit on all the time. Like, if Johnny Depp's cool with it, I think Tommy Morris should be cool
know.
With it.
You know, Johnny Depp, I have a special affection for that guy.
He's just, you know what?
I like him.
I like him too. I saw the...
He's legit.
The Pirates of the Caribbean. Guy, first of all, he looks like he's 18 years old. He looks amazing. Like he can still do 21 Jump Street.
He's like 50.
He is. I've never seen anything like him.
And he
like,
smokes cigarettes.
Doesn't he? Yeah. I think it's just crazy because it's France. He lives in France.
Is that what it is?
He lives in France.
He comes on his own face.
He lives on his. He lives in France and just is his wife French or something like that.
Yeah, his wife's French.
I'm a big fan of him ever since I found out he was a big fan of Hunter S. Thompson. And then when he did Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas,
he was great.
He was good. He was very good. Bill Murray was actually better. Bill Murray did Where the Buffalo Roams. He played Hunter S. Thompson in that. Fucking genius. He nailed it. But the movie was not as good. Fear and Loathing was a much better movie.
Overall.
Yeah, but I don't think Johnny Depp's voice worked. Like, there's certain impressions I can't do. You know, I can't. I try, and my voice doesn't work that way. And some people just can't do, like, Johnny Depp sounds like he's trying to sound like a version of Hunter S. Thompson, but Bill Murray sounds like Hunter S. Thompson. But then when I found out that Johnny Depp lived in Hunter's basement and fucking stayed with him for fucking, like, weeks and weeks trying to work on the whole impression of him.
Oh, my God. Dude, listen to this. I was on a plane yesterday back from New York, and Sally Field was sitting next to me. So she was very nice, and she was reading a book, and then at one point she stopped, and something happened. We got into a conversation. She's in this new movie where she's playing Abraham Lincoln's wife. And Steven Spielberg's directing it, and Daniel Day-Lewis is playing Abraham Lincoln.
Oh,
so I said,
shit.
I got to ask you. I said, just let me know if you can't answer it. I go, has he started the process yet? And she goes, yep. And the way she said it, it was like, somewhere in the world, there's a man walking around right now thinking that he is Abraham fucking Lincoln.
Yeah,
that's
how what
gangster
does.
And crazy Daniel Day-Lewis gets into that shit, where it's like months and months and months in advance he is preparing, like, so that when he's there, it's just that's all he is.
You know, when he filmed There Will Be Blood, he slept in a tent on the set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember he got all greasy and shit? That's how he got into it. That's how he got into his role. He just became that guy.
Just crazy.
He's in my opinion, the best. Yeah. He's the best.
And there's a reason why he only does a movie like once every 3 years, because it takes that fucking, you know, in his mind, I don't know if it always will, but that right now, it takes that to get to there, and it's like, fuck it, just do what you want to do.
Did you ever see that movie where he played a boxer?
Yeah.
The best boxing
fight scenes.
It's called
The Boxer, right?
I think it was.
Yeah.
The best boxing fight scenes in any movie ever. The most believable. And I heard that Mark Wahlberg, like, knew how to box. Like, I've heard that before.
What did you think of that? I was going to ask you.
It was a good movie, but I felt like it was a little flat, and I felt like the fight scenes look fake as fuck. It's like, I'm doing this movie right now called Here Comes the Boom. It's Kevin James's mixed martial arts movie.
Oh, cool.
It's a comedy, and it's also mixed martial arts. The fucking fight scenes are off the chain.
Really?
They got Ryan Parsons is helping him out there, and this dude Daryl, who's the fight coordinator, and, you know, Boss Rutan's helping him too. And they came up with these amazing fight fucking – these sequences are – they look so realistic and so good and so well shot and so dynamic, and it keeps your interest. Like, I watched one of the – this Mayhem – Jason Mayhem Miller and Kevin James fight.
Uh-huh.
And I watched the fight. And I'm like, this is fucking well done.
Really?
Like, it's totally realistic. Like, the scenario is realistic. But it's also, like, the way they shot it is super dynamic. They're always moving. Whereas I looked at the fighter, and I'm like, this seems flat. It's like – this is like we're watching Rocky 2, man. I've seen this before.
Yeah, well,
I've seen these exact same scenes of this guy punching the other guy. And
I think those kind of directors choose to do it like what they would consider artfully, where they're just going to keep the camera on it, let the action. You know, it's like you need to see different angles. You want that's why watching fights, you know, live is amazing. But like even on television, you just see you cut to different angles when a guy's in this position, they can go around the other side, and it's cool to see those different things.
Yeah.
Whereas like those artsy movies are like, well, we're just going to keep the camera there and let the.
Well, you know. I think respectfully, Mark Wahlberg did not imitate Mickey Ward's style. He just didn't.
Yeah.
He threw a decent left hook to the body, like that looked okay, but. Mickey Ward had a very particular way of holding his hands. He had a very particular style of throwing his feints and his movement. It was very easy to watch. You know, like Anderson Silva is awesome at imitating fighters. Like he, there's all these videos online of him imitating Lyoto Machida and imitating Chuck Liddell. And there's fighters have styles. They have a certain way they move, and you can't just be you in a Boston accent and you call your name Mickey. You know, no, yeah. You have to move like Mickey Ward moved. Yeah. You have to box the way Mickey Ward boxed.
Which is why yeah. I thought...
You can't have your chin up in the air and throwing punches like a guy who's never been punched in the face. Because that's what I'm watching. I'm watching a guy throw punches in a boxing match. It's not like the way a guy throws punches in a boxing match. Maybe to me, I'm a extremist because my job, one of my jobs, is to watch fighting and analyze it and break it down. But I'm watching this. I'm like, you didn't even try, man. You didn't even try. If I was your friend, if I was Mark Wahlberg's friend, I'd be like, yo, dude, this is a fucking... This Mickey Ward is one of those guys, especially in Boston, that and that's where he's from. That's where Wahlberg's from, too. This guy, there's a legend to that guy. He's an all-time great Boston character. His fights have the display of courage and will. Those are all-time spectacular moments in boxing. You owe a lot more than that, man. You gotta work on that style.
And I also hope they don't do... Well, first of all, I thought that... what's his name? Is the brother was fucking unbelievable.
Brilliant.
Dickie Eklund. Yeah, because... Yeah. He knew the boxing, and you could tell that he probably didn't come from a boxing background. So whatever he started with was from fresh, and to the point he got, I thought it was really good.
It was
he
decent.
Also, and
yeah.
He also embodied the guy very, very well.
Very
but
well, yeah.
I hope they don't do it. I hope they just talk about them doing Fighter 2, where they'll get like an Arturo Gatti out there.
This
or try
time,
to find.
It's
you know,
serious.
It's like
really? Is there a talk about that?
I've heard. I don't know. I've heard just through different channels.
Well,
whatever,
I hope they
like,
do,
that would
do
be,
that.
That would be stupid to me.
You say that, but what if they did a good job of it? Who the fuck knows? You know, I never would have thought this one moved. This was a good movie. And Wahlberg is a good actor when he's acting. But I just felt like in his fight scenes, I just feel like it wasn't enough like Mickey Ward. And it wasn't realistic enough, man. You know, you got to hit each other a little. You know, I want to see you really get hit, man. I want to see a little pat. I want to see a slap. I want to see a fucking jab knock your hair back, man. I want to see it real. I mean, this isn't real to me. This is like, oh, here's the fight scene in the movie. My heart didn't move at all. When I watched that Kevin James thing, Kevin James and Mayhem, just the pure artistic version, like what they did, their version of the fight scene, I was like, these motherfuckers thought this shit out. There's a camera on his chest while they're grappling. There's like this wild shot of him getting belly-to-belly suplex from a camera on his chest. Like, dude, it's good. It's interesting. It cuts from a bunch of different angles, and you know, and it looks like they're really fighting.
What kind of shape is he in right now?
He's got incredible shape.
Did
he
really?
He lost 80 fucking pounds.
What?
Yeah. Kevin James went on this all vegan, all live, all raw foods diet. And he went on it a while ago. This is a woman who wrote this book that Mrs. Rogan's reading right now. And it's she's doing it too. And some all raw food, all like kale blended up and all this different shit. Well, Kevin was on that movie, the, what's that called? The Dilemma with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Vince and him became pals. And Vince is like, bro, you know, you're fucking really heavy. You know, you got to do something. But Kevin's like, I know. Kevin, I've been friends with Kevin for 20 years, and he's been struggling with his weight for 20 years.
We did a ball cop together, and we would drive home together in Boston, and we would eat all day. He had his own chef and stuff, and we'd eat well all day, and then we would hit McDonald's or Burger King, whatever. It would be like $30 the bill for like two people. Wow. I'm not kidding you, man. He would
sounds like Joe Rogan.
It. He would kill it.
I could fuck up some food, son.
And he was so cool about it. He'd be like, yeah, this is fucking good. You'd just be eating it, you know, you're like, it's fucking
good. Oh, he doesn't have shame in it. Kevin's a very, very honest dude. Mm-hmm. But he also realized, like, God, I got to do something about this. So it's been 9 months. He's had no meat for 9 months. Everything has been all raw, vegan, everything super, super healthy. But he's ready to go off like a rocket. As soon as his filming's over, he's going to eat a whole cow.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to take straight to Ruth's Chris. That's a wrap. She's going to be a car. It's going to drive him straight to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. He's going to get a fucking T-bone and mashed potatoes with gravy. But he's lost a tremendous amount of weight.
80 pounds, wow.
Kevin has always had, like, real martial arts skills.
But even,
I'm going to try to get him to do the podcast because I'm doing the movie. I'm going to be with him for 9 days. And I'm going to try to get him to do the podcast. But he's, like... super private, man. He doesn't like to talk about shit publicly. He doesn't like to do exposing interviews. Like the opposite of me.
Yeah.
Where I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking about everything. He's not that kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit more laid back, and it's hard to get him to I don't know if he's gonna willing to do an interview like that. But the story is very interesting. He's lost 80 fucking pounds. He looks fantastic. Like his face is all thin. His body—he's still like a little fat. He's not like—he's not shredded. He doesn't look like Anderson
Silva. Ryan
Reynolds. Yeah, he doesn't look like Ryan Reynolds.
I was gonna say I saw Mayhem recently, and now it makes sense why he's so thick. Mayhem's just gotten thick.
Well, it's because
too.
Mayhem hasn't fought in a long time. Mayhem got fucked. These these Strike Force morons, because Mayhem got in a fight, there was a fight where Jake Shields beat Dan Henderson. Awesome fight. And it was a big event on CBS. The whole CBS event, though, was a disaster because their production was so unorganized that
they went
way over the time. An hour and a half or something over their allotted time. So they went into the news. They went past the news. They went into some other show
that
was on past the news. It was so bad. The UFC's never done anything remotely like this ever. I mean, they just don't know what they're doing. They were real raw in the game. And anyway, Mayhem and Jake Shields had fought to a very close decision. It was a really good fight. And at one point in time, Mayhem had Jake Shields back with a rear naked choke in, and Jake was going out, and the bell rang. I mean, it was locked in. It was a wrap. There was no way Mayhem was letting go. He was palm to palm. He had the forearm across the neck. Jake was turning red. Boom. The bell rang. And he wanted a rematch. So they let Mayhem in the cage. And Mayhem interrupted the interview between Jake Shields and the commentator, Gus Johnson, and said, "Hey, you know, how about my rematch?" And then Jake Shields' buddies said, "Get the fuck out of here." And then the Nick Diaz and Nate Diaz and Jake and Gilbert Melendez, it turned into a fucking brawl
right
on CBS. Well, they blamed Mayhem. Meanwhile, Mayhem didn't throw the first punch. Mayhem got beat up. Right. He was on his back, and they were kicking him in the head.
Yeah.
And they're blaming him. And so they wouldn't let him fight again. He couldn't fight on Showtime, and he couldn't fight on CBS. And they didn't tell him. So they were pussies about it. So for a fucking year, this guy's been sitting on the bench.
Sitting around
doing nothing. So he's been lifting, and he's been getting bigger. You know, when you don't have to make 185 pounds, you just eat whatever the fuck you want to eat. You don't have anything on the horizon. You know, he gets big. He's Mayhem's a big boy. He could fight 205 if he wanted to. You know, he can walk around easy at like 220, 225. But, you know, at 85, he's big as fuck.
Yeah.
So he's going to be fighting in the UFC now. He's going to be fighting July 2nd against Aaron Simpson. You want to go?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, shit. You're in.
Sweet.
You want to go?
I can't.
No?
No, it's July 2nd now.
July 2nd.
Can't do it.
Colonic day.
Got a colonic. 10-15.
Big fuck up this weekend, man. Gray Maynard and Frankie Edgar, the fight's canceled.
What happened?
5-round championship fight. That's the main event. It got canceled.
Why?
Gray Maynard apparently had hurt his knee, but he was going to fight anyway. You know, he was, because it was for a title shot. So he was going to figure out how to just nurse his knee. You know, it's 3 weeks away. But Frankie Edgar broke his ribs. And when his ribs are broken, you can't. There's no way. He's fucked. Anderson Silva actually fought Chael Sonnen with a broken rib. It's either a broken rib or a separated rib. There was something wrong with his rib. But, you know, and he took it anyway. You know, he felt like he could still pull it off, and he did. But with Edgar, apparently it was too bad. He couldn't do anything. So Frankie Edgar and Gray Maynard is going to be moved to somewhere around, I think they said, it, depending on how everybody heals up, it'll be like late summer, early fall. Somewhere around then. Wow. So now I don't know who the main event is. I think it's going to be Rampage versus Matt Hamill.
Nice.
Rick Story versus Thiago Alves is a big fight on that card, too. That's a fucking nasty fight.
With the UFC buying Strikeforce, is there going to be more events now or just bigger events when you do events?
It's a good question. As of right now, it's two different companies. And as of right now, they own both, and so they can bring guys over. Like, they brought Mayhem over to the UFC because, you know, they own both of them. And, like, if you fucks aren't going to fight them, this guy's one of the most popular fighters in the world, and you idiots aren't fighting him. Like, what kind of nonsense is that?
That's so awesome. I'm so glad that he's going to be in the UFC finally.
Yeah. It'll be huge for him. You know, it'll be huge. And you know what? He should have been in the UFC a long time ago. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, the real problem with Strikeforce is what, I don't remember who said this, but it's very astute. They said that when you watch Strikeforce, what was awesome about it was you got to see a lot of knockouts and a lot of submissions. And sometimes you watch the UFC and the guys are so evenly matched that they kind of cancel each other out. Mm-hmm. That is true. Right. But it's because they're mismatches, though. One of the reasons why they're so exciting is because it's Paul Daly versus Scott Smith. And the reality is Scott Smith really can't stand with Paul Daly. So it does turn out to be a spectacular knockout. You know, so it's better that there's more competition, it's better. But sometimes the fights aren't nearly as exciting because these guys cancel each other out. But then sometimes when you get two of the baddest motherfuckers in the world and, you know, one guy takes a chance, like Anderson Silva versus Vitor, and it winds up being ultra spectacular and even worth more because you know that these guys are the best guys in the fucking world. You know, so it's all tricky, man. It's all tricky. It's going to be better to have all these fighters in, but they have to figure out what exactly they're going to do.
I do miss the mismatches of the old UFCs, you know, like where it's a black belt in jiu-jitsu versus a bartender of the Applebee's.
Yeah, those are fun as far as like as a spectacle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess they just they've moved Thiago Alves versus Rick Story to the main card. But there's a lot of good fights on this.
Do they
man.
Have any of those like fight fantasy camps? You know how they have for like basketball and baseball, like go down and play with old Yankees and. You know,
that's a good question, but
do they have
go
it?
Down and get your fucking brain exactly. smashed in
but
by
I'm sure
Matt
there's
Hamill.
Dudes that would do it
yeah there
or
are
show
dudes
them
that would
how
do
to
it.
Fight
well you know
or...
it's like training yeah they should do something like that it's not a bad idea
like,
Miguel Torres versus Mighty Mouse Johnson that is the fucking fight this guy Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson he fought on Spike TV last time he fought Kid Yamamoto who at one point in time was one of the baddest motherfuckers in the world and now he's down to his real weight of 135 pounds he could not fuck with this dude Mighty Mouse Johnson is this tiny little guy who moves faster than I've ever seen anyone. He is the perfect reason, like the perfect like version of the 135 pound fighter. Like if you wanted an argument, like why do they have this 135 pound weight class? Watch that guy. Because nobody at 185 can move like that. This fucking guy moves like a lightning bolt, just diving under punches. His double leg takedown is faster than any I've ever seen before. And his stand up is fast as fuck too.
Yeah.
So this guy is fighting the former champion Miguel Torres. That's a sick fucking fight. I hope that's on the main card. I think it is. It might not be. It might be a swing bout or something. It might be the Spike. Oh, it is. I think it's a Spike TV fight.
Did Strikeforce have girl fighting?
Yes, they do have girl fighting.
And did Dana just cancel all that?
No, he didn't cancel all that. They had this fighter summit where they met and they talked about the girl fights. And they talked about, you know, they had some sort
a girl
of a meeting.
Fight?
No, I've never called a girl fight. Wow. I would have to be
not
more
an
respectful.
Official one.
Yeah, I've called some ones in bars.
Oh, bitch! Those are always more fun.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man.
That's why I love watching those YouTube videos of like chicks fighting at Denny's and stuff like that. Like that one that was all over the place. I saw it on Deadspin. Because it's just the people, especially when girls fight. It's the people, I don't really give a fuck about how the fight, I love watching the peripheral people like, oh, bitch. Like, just the fucking, he just snapped, just grabbed their hair and fucking, like, whenever, it's just so much better and more animated. The people around them just fucking calling shit out.
Did you see that one that a couple weeks ago, there was a video going around that it was a fight at Denny's where a black guy was dressed up as Boba Fett. Like he must have just got off of some Star Wars convention and stuff. And he's just sitting there videotaping this booth next to him. These chicks all fighting with the cop. And suddenly this one girl just swings and tries to punch the cop in the face. And
oh my
they
God.
They just throw the girl down. It's funny how you can go from, you know, trying to be civilized to just smashing this girl onto the ground.
Or putting on your Boba Fett costume and then getting slammed to the ground later on that night.
Was that World Star Hip Hop?
Yes, I think it was. I think
dude,
it was World Star
that
Hip-Hop.
One website, World Star Hip Hop, is the conglomeration of the worst beatdowns in the history of the internet. Dude,
World Star.
Little Esther was just on there the other day. Did you see that? Her video of her asking the sex questions as dressed up as a little girl, they had her as the video of the week or something like
that. Well, they'll put on anything. It doesn't have to be hip-hop related, but a lot of it is black people getting the fuck beat out of them. And, dude, there's one video where one guy's talking shit and he gets knocked out, and then everybody runs by and punches and kicks this guy while he's unconscious. It is fucking disturbing. One guy uses his head like a fucking soccer ball, and he just runs up and boots him in the head. Then another guy comes up and punches him in the head, and they're all doing it while this guy's unconscious with his pants down. It's hard to watch, man. It's human beings, man, when they can get away with shit. I mean, we see it a little bit on the internet when people are anonymous and they snipe at you and say evil, mean shit. Mm-hmm. But when they know they can get away with shit, you see the weakness of a human's character. You see, like, the lowest a person can go. There's very few things lower than you see a guy who just got knocked the fuck out and you just run over and kick him in the head because you can.
Yeah.
It takes a special kind of fucked up, in pain human being to do that, to dehumanize an unconscious guy like that. But there's a bunch of videos on World Star Hip Hop of people doing that, man.
Do you know, you guys know who Mike Epps is, don't you?
The comic?
I saw that video.
Yeah.
What video?
Someone served him while he was on stage, served him subpoena.
Really?
While he's performing.
The woman just threw it on the stage, and then he goes off and say, you know, some bitch just threw some papers on the motherfucking stage.
White bitch.
Fuck you. Yeah, white bitch.
White bitch.
And then he said he admitted to participating in a nightclub brawl, saying, this is from when I whooped that nigga's ass in Detroit.
Yeah.
And then he continued to talk about the process server while she's walking to the exit.
Told
he's like saying, bitch, I don't give a fuck. Suck my dick.
Wow.
All on stage in the middle. Can you imagine?
Is there a transcript of this?
There's a video of it we can listen to.
Well, think about it. We're the only people that, like, if you wanted to kill us or serve us, you know exactly where we are. It's on our website.
At 8 o'clock on Friday, Steve Renazzisi will be in Cleveland.
Yeah,
on stage.
8 o'clock. You know where the play. I got the address. Here's the phone number if you want tickets.
Here's the audio from it if you want to hear the audio.
Sure. Okay. Let's hear it.
Yeah, there's.
He might as well be.
You can't really hear it.
Kill that shit.
Yeah, that's like
he might as well be speaking Martian.
Yeah,
that guy's got a. It's Martian talk.
Yeah. I heard he. I don't know. This is not may not be true, but I heard he pulled or got a gun pulled on him or pulled a gun on him in the middle of a set one time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Joey Cola was performing at Pips in Brooklyn, and there was a guy sitting in the front row that was heckling him.
Yeah.
And the guy pulled up his shirt and showed him a pistol.
I was there the night Holtzman got the gun pulled on him by the undercover cop.
Really?
Yeah, Holtzman's
on
stage,
right.
And he was
shitting on cops.
On
that guy.
And then Holtzman, you know, the guy was an off-duty cop, mm-hmm. And the guy pulled the gun out. He showed the gun.
Yeah.
Then Holtzman just kept going, of course, you know,
right.
As if just to say, well, let it happen now if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then left. And then the guy was in the, remember he was in the parking lot walking around, his girlfriend's there. That's when he pulled the gun out. That's when we called the cops. And the cops took him around the corner behind the House of Blues and let him go. Remember, like, they did the big dog and pony show, put him in the back of the car, handcuffed, and then we followed him around, and they let him go behind. They had his wife come pick him up.
Wow.
Boom. Gone.
Well, you know, cops have to look out for their own, but that's an embarrassing moment
for
them.
He was wasted.
Ugh, that's so weak. I was there. I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that vaguely. I remember that because I was, like, sort of on the outside of it. When the cops came, I was like, what happened? Like, what kind of a crazy asshole? Like, what do you think? You're just going to get away with that? No one's going to call the police?
Well, he did.
He just what a silly man thinks he's going to be able to pull a fucking gun out like
yeah.
That. Those stupid cops that were that used to patrol that area, they were cool as fuck.
They were, yeah.
Remember that big, what the fuck is his name, Mike?
Yeah, they used to park on the ramp and just come in and hang out.
Yeah, this guy, and they'd come in and watch the show and hang out. And,
yeah.
You know,
I think they all do.
I opened up my truck, and he goes, why does it smell like weed in your car? I go, because I smoke good weed. What kind of question is that? It's smelly.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they worked at Kimmel, too. I know Barris was friends with all of them. Like, they do security or something.
I used to
like
hook
that.
Those guys up with UFC tickets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they were cool as fuck. Like, you know, who likes watching dudes beat the fuck out of each other more than cops?
Yeah.
They and they're all martial artists. I've known so many cops from jiu-jitsu. You know, if you're a cop, man, you better learn how to fight. You better learn something.
At some point, you know? You're going to have to.
You have to. When I see a guy who's, like, completely out of shape and, like, obviously not skilled and he's a cop, that's a scary place to be, man. It's scary to be a cop anyway, but it's really scary to be a cop where, like, you pull your gun out, click, 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 the bullets don't work, you're unarmed and he's unarmed. Now what?
Yep.
That's scary as fuck,
mm-hmm.
You know? There was a video of a guy getting loose in prison. He was. They were handcuffing him, and they were bringing him somewhere. And there was like two cops, and he just starts beating the fuck out of these two cops. And they were so helpless. They did not know how to fight. The guy tries to grab a hold of him. He doesn't have any technique. He probably never been blasted in the face before, so he's freaking the fuck out. And he realizes this wild, crazy prisoner is teeing off on him. And then the other guy tries to jump on him. He blasts the other guy. It was ugly. This guy beat the fuck out of two security guards. Beat the fuck out of them, unconscious. You know, they thought two guys would be enough to contain him, like, because they didn't know how to fight. That must be the most terrifying place to be, not knowing how to fight and being stuck with a crazy prisoner.
Yeah.
Who just nothing to lose, man, especially if the guy's, like, in for murder. Those guys, the guys that are in for life.
What do they have to lose? You're going to take more life?
What a weird fucking life that must be. You ever watch those movies or those documentaries where they go into, like, there was one of them where they went into this one guy was stabbing this guy. It was all on camera. I forget what the name of the documentary was, but he was stabbing this guy in the eye, like, over and over and over and over again. He was stabbing this guy, and he was screaming out, white power. And he jumped up, and there's some white power jumping off in this motherfucker. And this guy is on the ground, like, barely alive, 100 fucking holes in his head. He's just stabbing him over and over again in the head. I'm like, wow, like that. This is a totally different world. Totally different. There's levels. There's a spectrum of human behavior, and when you see that spectrum, when you see like that Mexican lady last week, there was a video of some cartel woman chopping some guy's head off slowly and then skinning his face. They skin his face and they put it all on video. When you get to that level, there's levels of humanity where it's just like whoa. When you hear about like what Vlad the Impaler used to do, the guy that was responsible for the legend of Dracula, the legend of Dracula came from an actual man who was such a ruthless motherfucker that he would impale people on sticks.
And keep their head on a stick, right?
Their whole body, their head, parts of their body, and he would eat them. And he'd eat their flesh, and he would force them to eat each other. He would cut their pieces up and cook it and feed it to each other. Yeah, and then when people would, he would leave them up there for months, and people would come over, you know, his house, like, yeah, there's fucking some people I killed the other day. He wanted to make sure that everybody knew he was a bad motherfucker. Do not fuck with me. I'm taking shit to the next level.
Yeah. You may be willing to die, but are you being willing to be put on a fucking stick and have me eat you for the next 3 days?
When things happen, man, when you hear about like people kicking shit up to the highest, scariest notches, like one of the scariest things that I ever read was about people that had arrived, the first people that arrived and encountered Native Americans. And some of the fucked up things they did to the Native American babies, like dash their heads on rocks, like pick them up by their feet and dash them on the rocks. And there was all, this was Columbus, man, Columbus's boys. Dude, Columbus was essentially a mass murderer. Columbus was essentially a serial killer. You know, what those people had done, Columbus and the people that came with him, what they had done to the Native Americans that were there. You know, I don't know if there was resistance, if, you know, the Native Americans attacked first. I don't know what the fuck started it all off. But if you go into, like, the ancient, like, I was writing a script once at one point in time. I was writing a movie, a werewolf movie about the Old West. It was like a long time ago, like 10 years ago. As I'm writing this, I started really getting into the Old West and reading, like, all these stories about all these different battles. And the fucking brutality on both sides, the brutality, the horrible shit that people would do, where American soldiers would cut the pussy out of dead American Indians, cut their pussy out and wear it on their hats. It was like a thing that they did all the time. God.
That's probably why they did it.
What?
Because they turned to their other buddies, and their buddies went,
"Yeah, it probably is why."
But the reaction still hasn't changed.
It's also to let people know that you're taking shit to the next level.
Yeah,
and you know, and everybody has like this romanticized vision of how the American Indians lived and they were in peace and harmony. Yes and no, because they weren't in peace and harmony with themselves.
No, they were infighting.
They fought all the time. The Sioux Indians, for example, like the term Sioux, that's not what they called themselves. What they called themselves is Lakota. They were the Lakota people. The other Indians called them the Sioux because Sioux means enemy.
So
the
reason,
yes, because these motherfuckers were just the biggest, baddest motherfuckers, and they would come in and kick ass on the other Indians and rape their women and kill everybody. And so they called them the Sioux.
Sioux-y.
What a weird way to live, though, riding around on animals, shooting fucking pointed sticks at other animals.
With my pussy hat.
And by the way, they didn't even have horses until the Spaniards arrived.
Yeah, until they brought them over.
Yeah, when the Europeans arrived, that's when they started riding horses. Before, they were living like this crazy nomadic life of thousands of years ago. Like, they had nothing going on. They didn't have the wheel. They didn't have shit happening. They were living like this weird, harmonious, almost like animal-like, advanced animal life, you know? They would do a lot of hunts where they would do hunts by exhaustion, where they would follow a deer and a warrior would chase a deer down and literally run at that deer until that deer died of exhaustion, and then they would kill it and then they would all eat it. But they would chase them for miles. They just were in such incredible shape, and they had to do this to stay alive.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't have, you know, when you don't have a horse to chase after something, you have to chase after it on foot. You know, and if you, maybe your bows and arrows suck, you know, maybe you haven't figured that out yet. So you're living like people lived thousands and thousands of years ago. So in Europe, they had written language, they had culture, they had plays, they had all this shit going on. They were so advanced as far as like society. And then you would come to North America and there was savages, like literally.
I get sometimes I'm so tired. I'm like, I'm not even going to walk to the store. Buy the shit that has already been killed for me.
I know, right?
And then you got to get out of the car.
I watched True Grit the other day.
Did you like it?
It was good, man. The new one is good. And
he's a good actor, fucking Jeff Bridges, bro.
Yeah, he's a bad motherfucker. He's really good. Matt Damon was good in it, too. Everybody was good in it. The little girl was good. It's a good movie.
That was her first thing ever. She did, like, an episode of, like, I don't know, like, Modern Family and then this.
She's fucking good, man. She was. She can act her ass off. But you look at that movie and you see the hardships of the time, like how people were, you know, what the shit they had to go through back then. Just riding around on animals, like just that alone. You either get on this stupid stinky train that goes like 30 miles an hour, or you have to ride an animal. Your call. Everything kills you.
Yeah, I know.
You get a cold. Most likely, you're gonna die.
That reminds me of your joke. I don't do it anymore. The one where you're like, and half your family, it's you travel across the country, and half your family is gonna die on the trip.
Yeah,
half of you are gonna die. You're not even going to make it.
Yeah.
And that's best case scenario. I don't
remember how that bit goes, but yeah.
The whole thing. You were like, this is where we live now.
Yeah.
Because you were the lazy ones. You're like,
the idea was the only people in Paducah, Kentucky aren't in Paducah because Paducah's the shit.
Yeah.
They're in Paducah because they were walking across the country and they went, my feet hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's stop here and fuck. And they just stayed in some shitty spot.
Who the fuck would want to just keep doing it, though? God.
It's hard because, you know, you would survive, man. It's like when you watch Lost. It all makes sense. They crash on this plane. They crash their plane on this island. The survivors learn how to eat coconuts. And this is what we do. Now our society is here. This is where we live now. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it makes sense. That's what you do. It's what you would do, too. You would form some new society and new culture in the woods. You know, and you would figure out how to fucking use coconuts to go retrieve water from the little fountain. You know, this is what we do now. You would do it until you died, you know, because the alternative is like, what are you going to do? You're going to commit suicide, get to the highest cliff and drop down and bash your head on the rocks because you can't handle what thousands of years of people have handled before you?
It may not be I can't get suntan. I'll burn. So like I have 2 days of bad sunburn.
Ranazizi's Italian, though.
Yeah, but I'm half Irish.
And the Irish just dominated.
I burn, dude. So I'm going to have, I know, like, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, we'll figure it out. But I got a week of fucking sunburn ahead of me. I'm like, you got to stay in the sun. Where are you going to, you know?
Wipe poop all over you or something.
It's weird how human beings have evolved to different climates. Like, if you go to Ireland, everyone in Ireland is white like paper.
Yeah.
They're white as fuck because it's rainy all the time and they don't have to deal with the clouds. They don't have to deal with the sun.
No.
Like, sicky teas.
Yeah. But then, you know, when you get a place like America that's like this weird melting pot and people, their genetics have come from all these different places. And then now all of a sudden,
mix it together.
Some strange environments where you got like blonde people in Phoenix. You know, if you're a blonde person living in Phoenix, yeah. Arizona, you got exactly 10 hours every year of being in the sun, getting baked down before you start developing cancer.
Yep.
You know, you get 365 days of the year, and out of those days, you got about 10 hours where maybe if you ration it off over the course of a year, you can survive being outside. But if you want to be some sort of a fucking farmer, or if you like fishing, and your arms are always outside in the sun, you're going to develop some weird shit on your arms.
I know.
You know, there's radiation.
I've seen, like, I've been, like, on boats before, like, fishermen you're talking about, like, that dudes that look like me, but just, like, when they take their shirt off, but, like, their arms and their faces just look
years
like
old.
Fucking leather bags.
Yeah, dude, yeah, 1,000 years old. Being in the sun all the time is terrible for you. It's weird. It's like this giant nuclear explosion that's millions of miles away that keeps us alive, but it also wants to kill us.
Yeah. We need it, but it wants us to die.
And if we move just a little bit too far away from it, we freeze to death. A little bit too close, and all the water evaporates, and we cook. You know, it's like the delicate balance. You know, the only reason why we're able to live on this planet and this environment is stable at all is because of our moon. Because our moon is so large. Our moon is one quarter of the size of the Earth. And it's in, you know, a stationary orbit, and it keeps our orbit stationary. Its gravity interacts with our gravity, and it keeps us in a stable path where every year, it doesn't get too cold and it doesn't get too hot. It doesn't vary too much. But other planets, some planets have elliptical orbits where their distance between the sun and them
changes rapidly.
Radically. You know, and it's also like the angle that you turn. Like the moon doesn't turn. The moon it follows us the same face faces us all the time. You know, it spins around with us, but it spins around with us with the same look. Whereas other planets spin.
Yeah.
You know, they spin and they have crazy orbits. Like if you look at the orbits, we would think that orbits would all be circular. but they're not. Like I just started realizing this when I started studying all the Zachariah Sitchin stuff. We started talking about Nibiru, the ancient Sumerians, or the oldest known civilization as far as like written language and mathematics. They talked, according to the Zachariah Sitchin guy, a lot of people have doubted what he says and have, you know, contradicted him, but he said that there was a planet that was 3,600 miles away, and or 3,000 every 3,600 years, this planet that's on this crazy elliptical orbit comes between Mars and Jupiter, and that there's and I thought about this and I was like, are planets elliptical? Like, what the is that even possible that something would? And if you won't know what elliptical is like NASCAR. Is instead of a circle, you know, it's like a long,
an oval,
An oval. Well, apparently there's a lot of planets that are elliptical, a lot, and binary star systems. There's a lot of binary star systems too. There's like, and that's one of the things they think that they suspect might be outside of Pluto. Like, there's all this speculation lately about there's something wrong with the moon's gravity and the way the moon's orbit is, that it's reflective of some larger body in the solar system. And there's also a lot of evidence of something called the galactic shelf and the Kuiper belt and all these asteroids that are on the real outskirts of our solar system, like outside of Pluto. Well, apparently there's like a big drop off, and they're really quite sure that there's some large body out there, and it's probably four times the size of Jupiter at least. And Jupiter is fucking enormous. So they think that this might be a brown dwarf star, that we might actually have a binary star system, but that this other star is way the fuck out there, and it's like it's a brown dwarf, and I guess you can't see them that well. I guess it's very difficult to figure out where the fuck it is and spot it, and they haven't been able to locate it yet. But there's so little we know about this whole fucking thing that we live in.
Look how long it's been, and look how we haven't even, you know, we haven't sent a human to Mars.
Yeah.
That's technically, if you look at the whole thing, it's like our back, we haven't even gone off our back porch yet. Well, not even into the fucking backyard or the pool or wherever.
And most people believe we went on the moon. I'm skeptical still, but and that sounds ridiculous to say, but we haven't been back since 1972, you know. And I know people say, so what, it's the funding. So, yeah, it seems to me like there's some fucking shenanigans going on. I've looked very, very closely at the whole moon landing thing, and it's a ridiculous subject to bring up, because even me saying it and hearing my own voice questioning it, I sound like a retard. I sound like a retard to me. But I still can't buy it 100%. I just don't. 1969 and 1972, there were 7 trips, 6 successful. And it's the only time in human history that humans have been above 400 miles of the Earth's surface. Only the Apollo missions, the Apollo missions before that as well. No biological entity from the United States ever went into space and came back alive, except humans. We never even sent a chicken around the moon to see if it survives. We just threw them out into deep space and threw them out into extreme radiation, and they returned successfully every single time. And yet we haven't been able to go back since 1972. Every other man-made or a manned mission from that point on has only been up to 400 miles, like under 400 miles of the Earth's surface. They went 260,000 miles out and back. They did it in 72, man, 69 to 72. And people will say all kinds of things, like, the Soviets could have, you know, they would have pulled the trigger and told on us if that was the case. Maybe, but who the fuck knows what kind of weird shit goes on when people are actually running countries? Who knows what kind of deals they have? Who knows
WikiLeaks.
Exactly.
He knows.
He might know. He knows now. There was no WikiLeaks in 69.
He would have said it, though, if he knows, right? He would have leaked that. That would have been the first thing.
Why would that be in WikiLeaks? I mean, who the fuck needs to know if they actually faked the moon landings? Who needs to know? A few people, you know? You know, like
everyone in the space station.
What the fuck is the guy that made 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Oh,
Kubrick?
Stanley Kubrick. Stanley Kubrick. Yeah, that was the number one conspiratard, speculative guy that they said that Kubrick was probably in on it, and that he, you know, because of he had a relationship with NASA, and NASA came to him for some things, and
he borrowed the cameras from it or something like that, if I remember.
It's a total retard argument. I understand, folks. And if you're here listening, you go, fucking Rogan, man. I'm unfollow on Twitter. I'm no longer a fan. You questioned the moon landing. We were there, and I was a proud American. First of all, it's got nothing to do with us. This is us, and in 1969, it's not you, dude. Those are different human beings. Maybe we did go. It's very possible that we did go, or it's very possible that the whole thing was a fucking hoax.
I think we went, but
I think it's possible. I wouldn't be shocked, but I've talked to people that really truly believe that we went, and it sounds to me a lot like religion. They're not willing to question it. They keep saying, what are the odds? It's impossible to fake this. Look, they faked a lot of shit. They faked the Gulf of Tonkin incident that got us into the Vietnam War. They were going to fake Operation Northwoods. They're going to blow up civilian airliners and blame it on the Cubans to get us to go to war with Cuba. They were going to arm Cuban friendlies and attack Guantanamo Bay. This is all shit that was, this is not Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Black helicopters. This is real. Shit. This is not, I'm not making this up. This is all freedom of information stuff. And here's a quote, and this is the last thing I'm going to say on it, because this is right out of Bill Clinton's book. Bill Clinton wrote this. Just a month before, Apollo 11 astronauts Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong had left their colleague Michael Collins aboard Spaceship Columbia and walked on the moon, beating by 5 months President Kennedy's goal of putting a man on the moon before the decade was out. The old carpenter asked me if I really believed it happened. I said, sure, I saw it on television. He disagreed. He said that he didn't believe it for a minute, that them television fellers could make things look real that weren't. Back then, I thought he was a crank. During my 8 years in Washington, I saw some things on TV that made me wonder if he wasn't ahead of his time. That's Bill fucking Clinton. Bill fucking Clinton. But what does it mean? Does it might mean nothing?
It might mean that he's just saying that
people are full of shit.
You say,
yeah.
You
or it might mean that he just questioned the moon landing. He just said that guy might have been ahead of his time. It is quite possible. Look, if you were the president and you found that people really didn't go to the moon,
you can't tell.
You can't just come out and say that. And this is about as transparent as you can get by saying that we didn't go to the moon and putting it in a book.
I would love to ask him about that quote. That
he wouldn't
one
tell
quote.
You shit. He would say, who are you?
No one will ever ask him about that one quote.
Somebody needs to just ask him about that one
Who's
quote.
Who's ever going to get that chance?
I'm sure a lot of people now. He's probably hanging out. He's probably got Twitter.
He doesn't get asked those questions.
I say the most likely scenario is that the moon landings were real and that people look for a conspiracy in everything. And if you look close enough at anything, you can start to convince yourself that it's a hoax. That is absolutely possible. It's also possible they faked the whole fucking thing. It is possible that they murdered Gus Grissom. He was the guy that was the fucking astronaut in the Apollo 1. He was the guy that died in the simulator, burnt to death with two other people. That guy was questioning whether or not they were going to be able to get to it left and right. He actually hung a lemon on the simulator. And when he was doing interviews with reporters, to tell people that this is a lemon. And this is they can't even communicate with this fucking tower that's, half a mile away. He goes, how the fuck are we going to talk to people when we're on the moon 260,000 miles away? Well, that guy died, okay? And his family to this day, I mean, maybe it's just his son that, you know, missed. Is his daddy and believes in conspiracies too, but they believe that NASA murdered him. There was also a guy, and his name was Thomas Ronald Barron, and he was hired by Congress. He was a safety inspector. He was hired by Congress to oversee NASA and look at the whole moon landing thing and see whether or not it's feasible. Well, this guy put together this 500-page report. And he questioned whether or not they were ever going to get to the moon. He said NASA was in such complete disarray that he didn't think they were ever going to be able to do it. That guy died. I don't know how long afterwards, it was very close afterwards, in his car, parked on a train track with his whole family. Parked his car on a train track and died when the train hit the car.
Really?
Yeah, which is, by the way, how they got rid of people in 1969, folks.
They
killed Kennedy. They can kill you, too. And if you think that you're going to go around undermining NASA's fake mission to the moon, well, guess what? We're going to park your car on a train track, and you know you're going to disappear, and so is your little report. And, oh, look, we're on the moon. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Who the fuck knows? I don't know. None of us do. I'm certainly not claiming to be the possessor of some unattainable truth. All I'm saying is, it is possible. They could have pulled it off. I firmly believe that with the insane budget they had operating, they could have pulled off almost anything short of faking Godzilla getting attacking Tokyo.
Did you see that movie, Wag the Dog?
Yes.
It's like they just came up with on the fly. It was like with on the fly how Hoffman's character just was like, all right, then we'll do this. We'll bring in this guy.
Yeah.
And then we'll cast this guy. And
that's a brilliant movie.
It was a really great movie.
And that is what they could do.
Yeah.
You know? Look. Who the fuck knows? I know it's a retard. I'm not married to this. I swear to God, I'm not. I had two arguments on the air on the Penn & Teller show, on Penn Jillette, rather, Penn Jillette's radio show, with this guy, Phil Plate. Great guy. Who's a and he runs badastronomy.com. And I debated him about it, you know, and I thought he was going to clown me. And he kind of did in some ways in the first one. Because he kind of corrected me on some things and made me like really kind of see where he was coming from. But also he was like not willing to look at the possibility that it was fake. I said, you have to look at things from both sides before you form a belief in it. You have to.
You have to look at it from both sides before you choose what side you believe.
Yeah, but he's always going to believe in the side of science. He's a scientist and he's an astronomer, and it makes sense to me. But when I was talking to him about certain things, man, one of them was they had some photos that they took, the Clementine Lunar Orbiter, and they took these photos of the launch sites, and they had these little specks that were on the ground. And they said that this is like infrared photos from 30 miles up or whatever the fuck it was, 300 miles up, whatever the satellite is, how far away it is from the moon. Mm-hmm. And that these are photos, and they show the landing site because it's like a blast crater from when the thing took off. And I'm like, how is that possible that you're accepting that that is the photo of the launch site? When if you look at the launch site in those high resolution close up photos, there's no disturbance whatsoever. That was one of the things that all the hoaxers, all the, you know, the people that think it's a hoax, that's what they always point to, that this 10,000 pounds of thrust would have blasted a fucking hole in the ground. But meanwhile, when they landed, there was like, it was totally undisturbed. Like, how are you going to get crystal clear close up high resolution photos that show no disturbance, but you're going to be able to see it from orbit miles above the Earth? You're going to be able to see this little tiny dot from 300 miles up? That's craziness. And he didn't have anything to say to that. And I was like, you never considered that? You never looked at these little craters and said, how does that make sense? How is that possible?
How many living people are still around that have been on the...
There's quite a few. Yeah. There's a bunch, you know. They're all squirrely, man. Buzz Aldrin, you know, there's some fascinating interviews with him, man. It's fascinating. And one of them with this guy who runs, he made the movie A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. And he tells Buzz Aldrin that he's a liar, and Buzz Aldrin punches him in the head.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, rightly so. Fuck you, man. Even if the guy did fucking fake the moon landing, what do you think is his idea? You know, you don't think he got talked into doing that? You don't think that maybe they had some fucking guns to his head? Maybe they scared the shit out of him? He became a massive alcoholic after he came back from the moon landings. One of the weirdest things about the moon landings is you have to watch the post-flight press conference. I am no science expert, but I am an expert in bullshit. I know when people are lying. I can fucking see it. I can smell it. And you can too. There's a weird thing with humans where we can tell when people are being deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
And the video of them coming back from the moon, man, it seems like they're full of shit. It doesn't seem like they're nervous. They're definitely nervous too, but it also seems like they're full of shit. Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins, they're just shitty actors, man.
Was it like an open press conference where the Corps could ask?
One of them, they ask him, what was it like? Did you see any stars when you were on the moon? And Michael Collins says, I don't recall seeing any stars when I was on the moon. I don't recall seeing any. But meanwhile, never left the command module in the story. The narrative is that Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong made it to the moon, but Michael Collins stayed in orbit. He never went on the moon. So they attributed that quote to Buzz Aldrin in the transcript because Michael Collins would never say it. It's all conspiratorial talk.
Yeah.
I know it is. But there's enough shit there that makes me go, I'm not willing to totally buy this. I know it sounds ridiculous. I know the arguments that you Occam's razor, man, most likely scenario, you have to go with that. Mm-hmm. Well, the most likely scenario is that we can't do it anymore because of budgetary reasons and this and that. But there's never been a single technological achievement from 1969 that's not cheaper, easier, or faster to reproduce today, except for putting people on the moon. That one is weird. That one, every time they talk about putting people back, it's 2020 or 2022. But every president says they're going to do it. George Herbert Walker Bush said he was going to do it. Bill Clinton said he was going to do it. George Bush said he was going to do it. They all talked about putting people back on the moon.
Could you imagine today if Barack Obama was going to put people like, we have enough problems right fucking here.
Yeah.
This is not the time to also do this.
It's also not the time to invade Pakistan. It's not time to be in Afghanistan. It's the time to be concentrating on our own economy.
It's going to that.
Scary shit, man. All of it's scary.
That Pakistan thing is because, you know, if you start with them, then that cuts off all support to Afghanistan. And it's like, now it's game on. You want to fight three fucking... You want to have three wars at three one wars. Time?
And by the way, that's when Iran comes into the picture too. What I mean, there's all this talk about invading Iran. What if Iran, you know, keeps up its military program or its nuclear program rather, and then we have to invade Iran?
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know, man. It's my point about all this is that we don't know what the fuck the people who are quote unquote running this world are doing. We don't know what they're doing. We assume that what they're telling us is what's really going on. But they've been proven over and over again throughout history to be full of shit. Mm-hmm. And they've even said they're going to be full of shit to protect us. They've said that the CIA has come out. It was mainstream news reported that they were going to start making artificial stories and putting them in the news to throw off the terrorists. Well, when you start doing that, man, all bets are off. You know, you start lying to everybody to protect us. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, where's the accountability? When does this stop? You know, why are we angry at the world? Why is the world angry at us? Why are we there? Yep. Does this really have to be micromanaged? Do we really have to manage all the people in the world and keep everybody under our thumb? Are you sure? Is it just because we've been doing it forever? I mean, is there a better way to approach this?
I just feel like right now, with what is happening here and the sentiment that people feel about what's going on over in the Middle East, and they're taking – not that they're taking care of the business on their own, but you see things starting to play out where, like, even in Egypt, it's like they're handling the uprisings are happening, and they're not perfect, but things are getting sorted out on their own. And for us to be there interfering or being the catalyst for those kind of things to happen is not a good idea.
Well, I think these uprisings...
You're knocking at the fucking hornet's nest rather than just letting it be and letting them take care of themselves or take care of the situations that they're not happy about themselves.
Yeah, but I guess you got to kind of keep dictators from rising up and just fucking up people too. It's like, because also when you get a
dictatorship... But we don't do that. We don't do that. We do it when it's... But when they're our allies or they're our friends, then it's cool. Then
right.
This is the guy that runs the thing, and I know there's problems, but there's always been problems. He's our friend. Wait, he's not our friend? Fucking let's go. Everyone in. Get him in. We got to get him out. We got to get the next guy we can trust in there.
Right, like Egypt.
Exactly.
Mubarak thing. Yeah, Mubarak.
And that's my fear about Pakistan now. It's like we've been giving $1.5 billion a year for arms, and it's like now, wait a second. You've had this guy... For 5 fucking years he's lived in this house. 5
in
fucking
squalor.
Years. 800 yards away from a military base? You gotta be fucking kidding me, man. At some point, like, look, I'm not a cop, but
you didn't know that was in your yard? No, sir.
Oh, and
I
by
didn't
the way,
know.
Did you guys not know? I wasn't on dialysis either. Did you hear about that?
Really?
There was no dialysis machine. That's what I read, but that's another thing we were told about, like the dialysis thing, and that he was almost an invalid, you know? And it's like, this guy was fucking roaming around this house for 5 years. And nobody picked up on this?
Yeah, it's a very fantastic story. And we talked about this yesterday, and we said that if you had a movie, and in the movie you wanted to have an ending where it could leave room for the sequel, this is the perfect ending.
Yeah.
You don't get to see the body. They dump him in the ocean. You know,
That's it.
The fuck, man? It's like it's almost like they want people to get, even if they did have photos of them, nah, let them fucking guess. It keeps things interesting. Keeps things humming along. Keeps people distracted.
Yeah, I want to see a fucking photo.
They showed Saddam.
They showed him die.
Yeah.
They didn't just show him. They showed video.
Why can't we have a little...
They showed Rashawn Rondo's arm dislocated 1,000 times on the news that night. And it was horrible to look at. We could see a fucking photo of a... You know, it's sort of like... We've fought this. We've paid for this war for 10 years. We've had so much fucking problems financially here. We send troops over there. They've died. Let us see the fucking photo. We paid for the shit.
I can see the argument for not showing it. I could see that it's going to make him a martyr. I could see that it's going to make people, you know, in the militant movement, the Islamic militant movement, you know, they're going to use that as propaganda. I can see that it's better to not show it. When you're dealing with religious fanatics, it's better to just, if you really did have it, yeah, jump it in the ocean. Fuck
it. I'm not saying it's not the upper hand.
Or put it on ice where everybody can, like, the next president can come check it out.
I'm not saying it's not the high road. It's the high road. You're right. It is the high road, but I don't really know. I don't know if we're
even the high road. I don't even think it's the high road. I mean, I just think it's the smart road. I think, you know, if you look at as far as benefit to negative repercussions, you would have to say that the benefit would lie in not stirring up more than possible. If you've already killed the guy and you've got you did what the public wants you to do. You got rid of public enemy number one. You got rid of this guy. You got his computers. If that really happened the way they said it happened, yeah, what the fuck, man? You don't have to show people the pictures. You're protecting people. You did your job. If everybody is secure and all the people who are important have seen the photos, yeah, I mean, I don't think we all need to see it. I don't think it needs to be distributed.
What about
to the
this?
World.
What if they said it's on?
Doesn't mean that I don't want to see it.
It's on this website. If you want to look at it, great. If you don't, you don't.
No, that's not good because then the Islamic terrorists are going to be able to look at it. They're going to look at it and they're going to go fucking crazy. And there he is. And They strap themselves up
what
with dynamite.
What if it's a private domain? It's password
well,
protected.
Can't fucking get through that.
You know a hacker will get it.
It's password
it'll
protected.
It'll be a couple months or a year, and then a hacker's going to somehow hack somebody's computer that has it or do something. There's going to be a wiki.
Maybe if this happened 10 years ago, I would say definitely. But I think now, I think probably not. I think now they're probably pretty good at stopping shit like that from happening. If it's all legit.
Wasn't the Pentagon just hacked, like, couple months ago?
We had Brian Callen on yesterday, and I love Brian's take on things because it's very Fox News like.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's by the way he grew up, and you know he's very he believes that they're doing the right things, and he believes mm-hmm. that whatever you know the narrative is that he follows whatever America yep. is the reason why we're there in certain places, and he doesn't believe in conspiracies. But you know, when you look at all the different goddamn stories, like Pat Tillman, you know how they tried to change that fucking story.
Oh, yeah.
and butcher that, and he was killed by friendly fire, and the Jessica Lynch story, and these are just the ones that have blown up in our faces. How many of these have they got away with? How many stories that we think are history are just total complete horseshit? You know,
there's a lot.
A
sure.
lot. There's a fuckload, man. There's you know, I just, you got to be crazy to believe everything they say. I'm not saying that you should believe in conspiracy theories, because a lot of them are just as nuts. And by the way, some of the really nutty conspiracy theories, guarantee fucking tea, those are put in place by the government to discredit conspiracy theories. That's a tactic that's been used from the beginning of time. That's what they do. It's disinformation.
Amazing. Could you
imagine? They put out disinformation. They'll give you a bunch of good information, a bunch of things that make sense. Like they'll say that Lee Harvey Oswald did not act alone, and you know he thought that he was you know doing this, but they had set him up, and they really shot Kennedy with assassins that were set up in different parts of the grassy knoll and all throughout Dallas, Texas. And the reason why they used Lee Harvey Oswald is because they needed him to die so that he could go through a wormhole to Alpha Centauri to bring back the Master, and the Master is going to reach. All they have to do
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that all the Lee Harvey Oswald stuff is
now
bullshit.
Now it's crazy talk. You get people like, you can't say Lee Harvey Oswald because then he's going to go to a fucking cell somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, try talking about UFOs. Try talking about aliens. Try talking about you know, anything along those lines, and you automatically get labeled a kook. Try talking about Bigfoot. You're a fucking kook. But meanwhile, Bigfoot might have very well existed. There's an animal called a Gigantopithecus. It's a fucking huge, 8-foot-tall, erect ape that lived in Asia and might very well have come across the Bering Strait. Is it still alive now? Probably not, but might have existed at one point in time. It's a real animal. It's, you know, they know what they think it might be, and it looks like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So it did exist, and it existed just 100,000 years or so ago. And there's been many, many instances of shit that they thought was long dead, like the coelacanth. It was a fish that's a goddamn prehistoric monster. It's a fucking dinosaur, hundreds of millions of years old. They thought this thing was long extinct until, like, I believe it was the 1930s, someone caught one. And they're like, whoa, these are alive? They're alive. They're in the ocean. Who the fuck knows what's in the Pacific Northwest? Fly over that shit in an airplane.
I know. I was just up in Kirkland, Washington last weekend, or 2 weekends ago.
Fucking
crazy
dense,
up there.
Dense forest, man. You're talking about millions of acres, millions of square miles probably. You know, how many square... That's not true. Thousands of square miles, though. What is a square mile is a weird thing. Like, there's a lot of footage in a square mile. It's not like the distance between 2 points.
Yeah, well, how do you do it on a hill or something?
Millions of acres, for sure. But whatever it is, when you fly over it, you look at the density of the Pacific Northwest has legitimate rainforests mm-hmm. where you can't see inside. You don't know what the fuck is in there. There's a lot of crazy shit in there. Is there Bigfoot? Probably not. Probably not. But I wouldn't be surprised if it is. If they've caught Bigfoot, though, really, what is it? It's just a big, stupid monkey.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be any different than an orangutan.
It would be cool if it talked.
Yeah, if it talked and it dressed up in clothing.
If it was like, oh, you guys, congratulations.
Had a whole family.
Yeah. Bigfoot was divorced.
Yeah.
He's got two kids he doesn't see.
You know, they didn't discover the mountain gorilla until 1902.
When I discovered the mountain gorilla? 3 seconds ago.
What's a mountain gorilla?
It's a giant-ass fucking huge gorilla. It's a big-ass fucking gorilla.
I'm learning something. My son's... loves dinosaurs. He's 2.5, so we went to the Museum of Natural History in New York, and just going, like, it's cool. Like, I haven't been to museums since I was a kid, really.
Yeah.
And it's like going back now, you actually care and you're learning more. Like, watching him and I together, like, oh shit, this is fucking, like, I looked at a T-Rex, it was fucking massive. It's massive.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
The vertebrae on the T-Rex is bigger than my fucking forearm. You're crazy. Just yeah, and
they're,
tremendous.
They try to figure out what the fuck, why the T-Rex was built like that, too. There's so much speculation. Like, why did this thing have these giant legs and these
little
weird
tiny arms?
And could it run? Could that thing even run? Like,
and how fast?
Like, if you look at Jurassic Park, they ran, remember? They ran really fast.
Yeah.
But the speculation is that that's not possible. And then there's other speculation by, you know, more fringe people that think that the atmosphere was different then, that it was a much denser atmosphere, that it could carry your weight better, or the gravity was lighter or something.
Well, I also think they were unbelievable fighters. They never got off balance because their tail weighed almost as much as the front part, so they were never – they could just lock those legs down and just move around, and that you can really get them off balance.
There's also speculation that T-Rex was just a scavenger, that those big teeth were just for breaking up bones. And
oh, really?
Shit was dying left and right all over the place, and they would just find it.
Like a
raptors.
Garbage disposal, just eat whatever you
can. Yeah, like raptors would kill something, and they would just go, get out of here, bitch, that shit's mine. And then they would be big and ugly, and then there's even speculation about their coloring, that their coloring would be very vulture-like, and it's possible that they were, like, really hideous-looking.
Mm-hmm.
They were just giant garbage disposals.
It's still fun to see, like, all the... Just the gigantic, massive fucking bones they had and stuff. It's crazy.
What people don't realize, man, is that if this... I mean, that world that existed, you know, 65 million years ago before that giant meteor hit and killed all those dinosaurs, that world could easily be right now if that meteor didn't hit. And there would be no people.
No.
There would be nothing. Those things, like... The world that we have now is one of several mass extinction event worlds. There's been several different ones along the lines, and this is the latest to survive the last mass extinction. But they're all very different. They're all very different. There's very few animals that survive that. The one that hit the Yucatan, they say it was 5 miles long, and that it was 5 miles deep into the earth in the first second and a half it hit.
Really?
Five miles deep into the earth
in the second and a half
that it hit. And that's not unusual. That's happened a bunch of times over the course of the history of the earth. Yeah, and it can happen, man, and there ain't shit to do about it. Fuck Bruce Willis. You can't shoot a rocket, land on that thing, and deflect it. You're
I love
about,
that movie.
It's a great movie.
I love that movie.
If you're high and dumb. The movie sucked.
I love that movie.
What was better, though, that one or Deep Impact?
I like that movie because of Buscemi. Yeah. I just love Buscemi, how creepy and weird he was, just fucking the rocket and like I don't know.
I don't remember
Buscemi
that.
Buscemi just cracked me up.
I remember it had one of those really fucking lame Aerosmith like ballads.
Oh yeah, well,
living on the edge.
No, not that. It's weird to see Steven Tyler, man. It's weird to see him. I mean, I don't hate the guy. I'm a huge fan of his earlier stuff.
Oh, you're talking about American Idol?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird to see him on American Idol. It's weird to see those ballads too, man. Those movie, romantic movie ballads that they started producing that were just, you know, you go back to like Walk This Way, you know, you go back to some of their shit that they put out. I mean, it was just some badass rock and roll, man.
You know, Run DMC had to be talked into doing Walk This Way. Like,
really?
They were pissed. They were like, we're fucking gangsters. We don't want to fucking have a guitar in it. And it was like, then they got, I think it was Rev Run did an interview. He's like, then we got our first check. And we were like, fuck yeah. Like Rick Rubin, they were like giving him high five. They made like more money off their first check from Walk This Way than they had like their whole career put together.
Well, it was a good collaboration too.
Yeah.
It actually was one of the few that made both songs better.
Like that, like that Anthrax one too is pretty good.
Oh, with Run DMC?
Yeah.
I don't know that one. What is that one?
Fuck, how does it go? I remember the video.
Bring the noise.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Turn up the trail. Bring the noise.
Yeah, that was cool, man, when rappers... Yeah. I mean, now the best things are mashups, you know, when they're not really doing it, but there's someone else does it together.
We require DJs to do that now.
My favorite, man, is the Jimi Hendrix one with Jay-Z. 99 Problems mixed with Voodoo Child.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that one.
You never heard that?
No.
That's my premier workout shit. When I want to kick things, when I'm working out and I want to kick it to the next level, I throw that on because it's just a fucking jam. Jimi Hendrix guitar and that 99 Problems song all jammed up into one song. Fuck!
I'm going to go Google some mashup.
Google the shit out of that song.
Listen to some old school Daft Punk, too. That shit's so awesome. Like, the guitar in that one song.
Daft Punk. What do they say?
Stronger, faster, better. They do a lot of songs.
Oh, somebody made a mashup of one of my rants from the podcast mixed with a Daft Punk song.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of, like, mellow kind of, like, techno-type music, but then they have some just amazing songs. And one of the songs, it's called Digital Love, but it has this awesome guitar solo in the middle of it. That's just pretty badass.
I'm
just right into it.
I'm so psyched. I'm going to. We're playing Bonnaroo this year. And I haven't
Who's
done,
we?
The league show. We're going to do a league live show there.
What are you going to do? How do you do that?
It's they have a tent for comedy. I think it's like we're going. Lewis Black's going. You know, so it's like one of the things we do like a show together, or the four of us do stand up and stuff. And
oh, that's cool.
Fuck around. But yeah, I mean, like everyone's going to be there. So Eminem's going to be there. The Black Keys, Mumford
wow.
and Sons. Yeah, everyone. It's just going to be. It's. I hope it's. I mean, it's like an hour outside of Nashville. So,
dude, that sounds awesome.
Yeah,
that
it's the awesome. Biggest. It's four night. It's like Coachella, but just.
And they do a lot of stand up at those too, don't they?
They do. Yeah, this is my first experience with that. I'm doing that, and then next week I'm doing this country western musical.
Festival
thing. Me and Jimmy Schubert and John Reap.
Jimmy Schubert.
I'm like, this is going to be either the best / worst weekend of my life.
I haven't seen Jimmy Schubert around in ages.
Yeah, I know. He's great.
It's those guys, man. This is the core Comedy Store group.
Could I ask you a question? Your advice on something. I heard I was listening to one of the podcasts. You were talking about going through a period where you were on television and still doing stand up, but you felt old. Like your shit was getting old and you were getting tired of it. And I've just recently gone through that, or I think I'm coming out of it. I'm not sure. How did you know? Was it a feeling you had? You were like, oh, I feel fucking fake right now.
Yeah.
And then, like, how did you get yourself out of it? Stop
doing that shit. Just stop. Write new stuff.
Write new stuff.
You abandon the old material. And you know, if you haven't recorded it, just put it on a recording. Make sure you do an album, do a CD,
yeah.
Do a DVD, do something. But record it and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important, man. You know, I didn't do that nearly as much when I was younger, and I appreciate my act, and I appreciate the process a lot more now, and I don't take it for granted nearly as much now. You know, before when my act was like just completely solid and it was, you know, this is what I did for, you know, the next couple of years and I really didn't add too much to it. There was a period like in the 90s where I did that where it just wasn't stand-up wasn't the same thing as it is now. Now stand-up is like this living thing that's constantly changing and evolving, and I can't wait to get rid of my material to come out with new shit. It's scary to abandon. Yeah. You know you have bits that are just proven gems.
I know.
You know?
It's tough to let those fucking bits go.
It's tough. You got to, though, dude. You got to. I have hours of those things just laying around that I don't even remember anymore. They're not even mine anymore. They're the ethers.
Yeah.
They're peoples. They're my fans' stuff, you know? Like the Anna Nicole Smith, I don't know how to do that anymore. You know? The Tiger's fucking bit, I don't know how to do that. Hugh Hefner bit, I don't know how to do that. I mean,
really?
Those bits are gone. I don't know how to do them anymore.
Do people shout out, like...
Very rarely the old ones. It's more the new ones
now. You pulled Noah's Ark out of the balloon pretty well.
That's because I was high as fuck, son.
Oh, really?
I was tuned into the ether. So, again, this weekend, Sam Tripoli and Tom Segura and me at Cobb's Comedy Club Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I believe Saturday sold out. I'm not sure. I think most of the shows are almost sold out, so there's not much left. And we are doing Sal's Comedy Hole Wednesday, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. What are you doing tomorrow night? You around?
No, I'm going to Vegas.
Powerful Vegas. What are you doing?
I got a bachelor party I'm going to for the 3 or 4 days, yeah.
Stay safe, son. Don't do anything crazy.
Very cool. Yeah, relaxing, getting older.
So that's it. We will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we got Doug Benson with us.
Yay!
Is there any other gigs you want to plug?
I'm doing with Brian Callen, the Wrecker Theater.
Where's that?
In Baltimore, Memorial Day weekend, Saturday night, we're doing two shows at the theater, me and Brian Callen.
Nice.
And then, not this weekend, but next weekend, I'm in Philadelphia at Helium Comedy Club.
How do you and Brian do that? Do you do like a co-headliner
We haven't done it
thing?
Together yet. Yeah, we haven't done it. I think
Who
there's
organized
two shows.
This?
Our agent, we have the same, sorry, they sent this out and do it together. But
so you just flip a coin, like you open one, he'll open the other?
I think that's how we'll do it. I haven't talked to Brian about it, but I've... figure that's how we'll do it.
Powerful. Powerful. Yeah. Okay, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow with Doug Benson. And thank you again to the Fleshlight. If you go to joerogan.net, click on the link for the Fleshlight, enter in the code name Rogan, and you will save 15% off the number one sex toy for men. Oh, shit. And I got one for Steve Renner's easy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. All right. Follow Steve on Twitter. Oh, this is a tough one. Ready for this? Steve. Now, here it's Ranazizi. So there's almost a Nazi in there, but there's two Zs. It's Steve, and then RANNAZZISI.
Learn it.
You need to change that.
Yeah, nope. Why don't you just change it?
No way.
Stevie.
I'm too deep now. I'm too far in.
He's too far in.
I'm in the grid.
It's fucking with your Twitter accounts, though, I guarantee you.
Oh, super. I'm sure it is.
It took me like 10 minutes to figure out how to spell
good.
It.
Good.
Yeah, you know what I did?
Work.
You know, on the Twitter page, if you put in the @ and then start Steve, it shows me all the Steves that I have.
Oh, really?
And then the R, and then it showed me you as an option. I'm like, yes.
There it is. Thank God. Otherwise, you would have been like, fuck
that's
it.
How I do it.
I'm on the show at 3 o'clock.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you tomorrow. Love you, bitches.